It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, happy Auld Lang Syne. Here we are at the end of the odious plague year 2020. Some 340,000 Americans didn't make it here with us, and we will be remembering them this evening. But we are here to kick 2020 square in the ass and boot it out the door in favor of what we hope will be a much better, brighter, saner, healthier, safer 2021, which incidentally does not begin for another 20 days. Hi, I'm Bob, and this is the 31st day of December 2020, the final program of the horn for 2020. Good riddance to 2020, indeed. But every program at the horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, as a consequence, we begin with thanks to our Patreon subscribers. That means thanks to Eve, and thanks to Rico in DeBerg, and thanks to Misconduct, and to Katie, and to Jake, and Steve. Thank you to Nancy, and Jimmy in the Great Northwest, and Bernadette. Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you, Irwin in Montana. Thanks to Mike in Cascadia. Thank you to Ed. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, John in far North Dakota. Thank you to Andrew. And thank you to Oak and to Dave number 11. Thank you to Mark. And thank you to Michael of the Guffins and Balmer Bob and Brock and Jeff in Slow. Thanks to James and Kay. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, James and Ruth. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you to Annette and Joanne. Thank you, Lori. Thank you to Alex. Thank you to Albert in North Carolina. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Vernon in San Diego. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Kat in Ohio. Thank you, John. Thank you, Marty. Thanks to Brendan and to Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Alec. Thanks to the Nubian. Thank you, Carl. And thanks a second time to Irwin. Thank you to Steve in New York and to Barb in Minnesota. Thank you to Horst in Taiwan. Thank you to Robin. Thank you to John. Thank you, Terrace. Thank you, Fab. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. All of you, thank you for being partial sponsors of this program and keeping liberal, progressive, independent broadcasting on the air and a going concern for so many, many of these years. Thank you. And of course, if you want to augment your experience on this New Year's Eve program, I encourage you to pop on by headon.live. Click on chat room. And if you've never done so before, pick out a screen name and a password. And you'll be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, except for tomorrow. There's no program tomorrow, New Year's Day. I'm going to be cooking The ham has been brining for almost 2 days. It's going to be special. But if you do pop in, you'll be greeted immediately by early arrivers Anatole and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Terry. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage guild navigator, has chosen not to fold space to become man cave on this Northern California afternoon. And where are we? Okay, we are within reach of finishing 2020 to the good. And Chris in Germany has kindly put a $300 challenge on the table. If that challenge is met, we will finish 2020 even, and we'll even be able to, well, tomorrow we'll be covered, which will be tremendous. Thank you so much, Chris, and hopefully folks will jump in on that quickly, and we will get it out of the way, and there won't be too many mentions of fundraising for the rest of the program. Because I've got something, now, in about an hour, we will go over to the side porch, because this is, after all, Thorn in the Side Porch Thursday. And we'll check in with Sparky as he leads the discussion, moderates the discussion around the extraordinary, ordinary round table in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. That's about an hour from now. If you'd like to participate, there should be a floating link on the main page at headon.live. And who knows what we're going to talk about. Whatever we need to talk about to kick this old year squarely way the hell gone, hopefully. And so thank you very kindly getting us started. Thank you to Tony. I'm sorry, George. Thank you, George. George just got us started. That means there's 275 remaining in Chris's challenge. Thank you, George, for getting us going at the beginning of the program. Thank you. And Scott in San Diego, re 2020. I am ready to scrape it off my shoe. Ain't that the damn truth? And of course, this. Fossil Fuel, Diane Fossey, and gorillas? Bob! Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Joy. We missed a few things this week, so let's backtrack and try to catch up. On the 27th of December was Tara Devlin's birthday, so happy belated birthday to Tara, indeed. Happy birthday, Tara. I had a lovely conversation with Tara last night. And, wow, Jeffrey's already on it. Jeffrey likes Tara.
Yes, Tara is so smart, and she has so much to say. And as you know, when Tara speaks, the Devlin is in the details.
Thanks, Giraffe, you little devil, you. Also on the 27th, back in 1985, sadly, the wonderful Diane Fossey was found hacked to death by rebel guerrillas in a research station in Rwanda. Ironically, she was in Rwanda studying mountain gorillas. Fossey often commented on how wonderful and almost human-like the mountain gorillas tended to be. Jeffrey, of course, can enlighten us further.
Yes, it was so ironic that the animals in the wild, which were not human, behaved in such a humane manner, and the human gorillas were really wild and inhumane. The inhumane human gorillas turned Diane Fossey into a fossil.
God, it never... There's no let-up, is there? Yes, that was so sad because Diane Fossey was such a warm, decent person who cared about the gorillas. Ironically, also on December 27, 1994, also in Rwanda, when Rwanda's president was killed in a plane crash, the country was plunged into a bloodbath and genocide ensued. The Hutu majority slaughtered the Tutsis, and 500,000 people were killed. A missionary exclaimed, "There are no devils left in hell. They are all in Rwanda." By the way, all while the United States and Bill Clinton stood by and did nothing to help. One of the greatest humanitarian blunders of all time. Giraffe adds,
"Don't worry about keeping the devils replenished in hell. The Trump administration and most of the current Republicans led by Mitch McConnell, former Republicans such as Dick Cheney, and all the asses of evil associated with the right wing will keep hell quite full."
Yeah, Jeffrey definitely has his gorilla on tonight. By the way, how many will Trump's genocide kill in the name of the coronavirus? And for all you Star Wars fans, on December 27th, 2016, we lost Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia,
And then the very next day, December 28th, Carrie Fisher's mother, Debbie Reynolds, died of a broken heart. So sad. Jeffrey laments, yes, 2016, after losing those two great actors and humanitarians with the great prospect of Trump becoming our president in less than a month, I think we all just wanted to die as the giant orange orangutan was about to become the new president and begin domestic guerrilla warfare in this country. Well, Jeffrey's correct again, but we're going to perform guerrilla Warnock Fair at the voting booth in Georgia on January 5th. Warnock Ossoff, January 5th. Oh, God. Now I sound like Jeffrey. Speaking of orangutans, on December 29th, 2007, down in Miami, a 55-year-old orangutan by the name of Nanja passed away. She was the oldest living orangutan known to man. The Miami Metro Zoo has left her cage empty in her honor. And Jeffrey has a plan.
Yes, I think we should have a replacement for Nanja. If you're looking for a very old orangutan, I do believe they'll need to find a place behind bars for the orange orangutan named Donald Trump after he leaves office and Trump loves South Florida. I figure since Trump has been flinging poo bullshit for the last 4 years at the American people, why don't we put him at the zoo and he can just continue to fling his poo? I'd like to do a study of the male maggots in this country, considering they're likely far dumber than a gorilla. Yes, so we shall put scantily dressed melanoma with pictures of her posing nude for money in a cage next to Donald, and we shall observe the male maggots to see which cage would likely interest them more. I'm personally putting my money on these dumb monkey male maggots being more interested in the Donald flinging poo than, well, caged Melania. These male maggots are just that stupid. Well, Jeffrey really is quite the observer, you know, given the vantage point that he has, being a giraffe and all. And last night, Bob was talking about geology. I was. And surfing monkeys. Giraffe says, geology really rocks. You know, geography is where it's at. So I was talking to one of the maggot religious people I know who thinks the earth is flat and only 6,000 years old. He also hates socialism. He was about to fill up his car at the gas station and head out to the highway. Jeffrey loves high ways, you know. I said, seriously, Martin, do you still think the world's only 6,000 years old and you're filling it up with fossil fuel? Where do you think they call it fossil? Why do you think they call it fossil fuel? And where do you think it came from? And Joey continues, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they call it fossil fuel because it came from such entities as dinosaurs. Does anybody remember the old Sinclair gasoline sign with the green dinosaur on it? Martin was actually old enough to remember those gas stations and that sign, but not smart enough to have a gestalt moment. I explained to Martin that the fuel he was putting into his car was from ancient fossils from millions, if not billions, of years ago, and that highway you're about to embark upon is there because of socialism. Yeah, and you know what else I remember later on, well past the Sinclair dinosaur, but there was an Exxon ad that was animated, and it had a little animated dinosaur riding an elevator, and it gets to the bottom, and it says, bottom floor, fossil fuels. Yes. Giraffe is very, very much a social creature tonight. Yes, I noticed you said embark. Did you do so as a subliminal message to try to smarten up Martin? You know, like bark from a tree invoking a green dinosaur for the Green New Deal? No, Jeffrey, the Martins of the world have substandard brains and they would never be able to comprehend a higher subliminal message. Well, Jeffrey and I,
hope you can comprehend this message. Happy New Year, Horn family. This has been Joey's Journal for Thursday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, with Giraffe waving his Old Lang Warnock Ossoff sign. Old Lang Warnock Ossoff sign. Yes, okay. And there's a $25 Old Lang Warnock Ossoff sign challenge. So we've got actually $325 worth of challenge money on the table, and that would be a great end of 2020 and beginning of 2021. So thank you very kindly, Joey and Giraffe. It's interesting that Joey and Giraffe picked up on the geology discussion last night, because there's been a couple of geologic mentions in the last couple of days. And I have this extreme good fortune to have grown up with a lot of brilliant people. You've heard some of them on the program. And you're about to meet another one. I have known Terry Ellen, who, by the way, is in the chat room, too, since we were ninth graders.
And Terry Ellen just also happens to be a real live, no kidding, geologist and knows all about things like rocks and Pangaea and Gondwana land. Terry, obviously, since we went through high school together, is an Alabamian, and we were very good friends in high school, and we sort of lost track of each other and then reconnected just a few weeks ago via a post in our high school graduating class Facebook page. And I was just really excited to reconnect. And let's I'm just tickled to pieces to have Terry on the program with me. Terry, are we reaching?
Yes, we are reaching. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. It's wonderful to have you here. Welcome.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for having me, Bob. I appreciate that.
Oh, it's
wonderful to reconnect with you after all these decades. Still so old and saying that. But,
yeah, downright rickety, I suppose. At least.
Downright rickety, yeah. Our 40th high school reunion. You didn't say that.
Yeah, that's true. This next year will be our 40th high school graduation anniversary. And I'm really hoping we get to have it.
I hope you do too. Really, really do.
But you see news stories like what we had in the last 24 hours or so, that it turns out that those 500 doses of vaccine that were destroyed weren't accidentally destroyed through human error. It was through human intentional actions. So we've literally got people out there trying to keep people from getting vaccinated. My God. And you just wonder.
It's bizarre. It's just simply bizarre, the stupidity and willful ignorance that we have in this country these days.
Exactly. So before we get too far into the conversation, you seem to be a bit muffled. I don't know if it's a problem with our connection or devices or whatever, but...
Okay, well, hold on. Let me try something else. Hold on.
Okay.
Is that better?
That is markedly better.
Okay. We'll go now.
Okay. We'll see how it works out. So... let's go back to what I was talking about for just a minute, because you are a professional geologist.
I am registered in the state.
And so, I told you the story about the surf monkeys. Is it really necessary for monkey? This is from yesterday. I can't get over the story. It's all over me. Is it really necessary for monkeys to have surfed from Africa to South America for there to be monkeys in both Africa and South America?
No.
No, I thought the answer was no.
No.
I tell you what, the audio is still not quite working out. Do you have access to Skype?
I don't know. I haven't done Skype in a while. I see the Skype button on your webpage. You want me to try that?
Let me see here.
I'm using my cell phone, so I don't know why.
Okay. I hate to end. I'm sorry to be engineering on the fly, but are you holding your handset up, or are you on speaker?
I'm on speaker.
That's very strange. Yeah, because
I have it, not holding it. I have it in front of me on the boom mic holder. I don't have to hold it.
Okay, well, maybe it's getting better. Let's talk just for, because we really. I'm sorry.
Is that any better?
It does seem to be. I think. Yes.
Moving. I mean, I'm speaking right at the microphone on my phone. So
okay.
Not sure.
Okay. It seems to be settling down. Sometimes it's just weird.
Okay. My apologies.
That's okay. If it doesn't work out, we can use the messenger audio. I think we can switch over to that. Everybody's in.
Skype conference.
I'm sorry, what?
Is that like audio?
Yeah, just
Skype conversation that's on your web.
Yes, Skype audio would work. Yeah, we don't have to do video or anything like that because, well, it's a radio show.
All right, let me see.
Okay.
If I can do that.
Okay. So, let me work on the connection here.
Let me show them in a minute again.
This is just really, really weird. I'll send you a contact. So, if you just search on Skype and look up Bob Kincaid Horn, it'll connect you right to me. I guess we probably should have teched this a little bit, but that's on me because.
Yeah.
Or I'll tell you what.
Just a mess. Thing that's on your website, the web Skype.com.
No, you can't use that because that takes you into the Skype group.
Okay, we don't do that.
Okay, so I'm going to disconnect and I'm going to reconnect to you via messenger audio if that's okay. And if that doesn't work, try back, yeah, okay? Okay, stand by.
It's in the link.
Yeah, all right, bye. Never a dull moment. It's always something. There we go. And
okay.
Okay, that sounds like it maybe it's better.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Wonderful. So, what I was saying earlier, that we grew up in that strange, bizarre, brigadoon-like little corner of Northwest Alabama, and there were a lot of brilliant people there. I count you among them.
Well, thank you. I consider that a compliment.
Tell us a little bit about what led you into the wonderful world of rocks.
Well, when I was a kid, I liked rocks. You know, I would go out around Florence, Quad Cities area and bust open rocks with a hammer to find fossils. Florence is underlain by limestones, and very fossiliferous limestones. And so found lots of shells, corals, and even a few trilobites in the area. And so I always had a huge interest in fossils and geology, rocks in general. I can remember doing a big poster of a volcano in the third grade, and then I wrote my senior paper in high school on plate tectonics. And when I was senior in high school, I wanted to figure out what I was going to do in college. And I also liked astronomy and meteorology, and so I was very, very science-oriented. And looked through the various requirements for those majors, and math was not my best subject, and meteorology and astronomy required lots of math.
I seem to recall us failing algebra 2 together.
We did. Yes, we did. And took it in summer school with Coach T. So, and then. Failed it again in college. It just was not my thing. But geology didn't require a huge amount of math. And so that's where I went and have not regretted it. Enjoyed all the geology classes and got a Bachelor of Science from the University of Alabama in geology. It was a special degree. I had to have like, I think, 9 or 12 extra hours beyond the normal requirement for a major. And then
I went on and got a master's in geology from the University of Alabama. So I'm well rounded.
Well, that is in fact the last time you and I had seen each other. We both started master's programs at Alabama in the same month, in the same year, same semester.
Yeah. Spring of 1986. Yeah.
86. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I lit out for Atlanta and fulfilling my CNN destiny, and you actually stayed and finished your degree.
I did. I was one of the first graduate students in the geology department in Alabama at the time to actually finish in a normal amount of time, 2.5 years.
So
there were other graduate students there who had been there 4 and 5 years and still were not done.
Jeez. Well, then it's obviously quite an accomplishment, and you went on and put your skills to work. And has it taken you very far afield, or have you spent most of your time there in Alabama?
Yeah, you know, I never thought I would work in Alabama. I thought I would have to go out west, oil and gas, you know, Colorado, Texas, Oklahoma, something like that. And I've ended up working my whole career in Alabama, amazingly enough. I have worked in some other states, not like lived there and worked, but gone there for projects, Colorado being a primary one. Got into COVID methane out of school in the early 90s and worked in that for about 4 years. And then when that went belly up, switched over to environmental and did environmental work for like 15 years. And did lots of remediation projects and lots of groundwater and soil cleanups and assessments.
Well, you know, we've talked a little bit over the last couple of weeks about the activism that I'm involved in up here relative to mountaintop removal. I'd love to I'd love to just at some point in time get your ideas and your impressions of just exactly, you know, at what geological level of destruction all that massive blasting is doing to this state. And, you know, for instance,
stripping the mountaintop off, you destroy everything that's above the coal seam.
Exactly.
Anything that was of geological significance, including fossils, are just gone. And then the environmental damage that's done to the streams in the area because they just dump all that down the mountainside.
They fill in the valleys. You know, over 2,000 miles of streams buried in central Appalachia from that practice. Yeah, I mean,
and then
what?
The exposure.
What's some water here and there, right? I mean, it's only 2020.
What's a little contaminated water between friends and families and children?
You know, at one point in time, we actually found a fish that had consumed the toxins produced by a mountaintop removal operation, and we referred to it as the Simpsons fish. You remember at the beginning? We found one of those, and it was very much real, and you know, fish with twisted spines, that kind of thing. But I'm curious, just because I had so much fun with that story last night about the surf monkeys. If you can just say off the top of your head, how long ago was it that the continents separated, you know, from Pangaea?
I was around 300 million years ago.
Wow.
300
million.
Million. Yeah.
And they really do. You know, South America and Africa were it joined up like jigsaw puzzle pieces, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean the split. You know, you can put them all together back like a jigsaw puzzle. If you look at the east coast of South America and the west coast of Africa, and you can shove them together pretty quick. I mean, that's how the idea for plate tectonics came from. Was that? You know, a geologist seeing that on a map and going, what the hell?
God, I loved it.
And then, of course, we found the mid-Atlantic spreading ridge, you know, where they were joined up. And that line matches the outline of South America and Africa. So.
I'm fascinated with it too. I'd mentioned it. And for the same reason, the mathematics, I filled out my science requirements at WVU by getting a bunch of hours in geology because I was not going to be the first person out of our chemistry teacher's classes to ever fail chemistry. I couldn't stand the pressure. It was just too much.
Yeah, so, I didn't fail chemistry in college. I passed that. So that was,
yeah, I just flat didn't take it.
I like chemistry. I wasn't good at the math. That was always my issue. So.
But you also have a life outside of geology, Terry, and you are an activist in your own right.
I am.
If you don't mind, I'm just gonna leave it sort of open ended for you to tell people about tell the Horn Family Community Congregation about that other side of you.
That other side of me. Okay. First off, I am transgender. And I do a lot of activism in the trans community. I came out as trans in 2014, separated from my wife in 2016, went full-time at work in the red state of Alabama in 2017, and have been living full-time as a woman 24/7. For the last a little over three years.
Because that was the part of the story that I left out when I was talking about us going, you know, being pals in high school together. And
I wasn't a woman back then.
No, in point of fact, you know, our friendship largely formed, on the football field as we stood there both being terrible, terrible, bad, really awful football players.
Yes, we were both second stringers, and we were used as tackling dummies most of the time, and I hated it.
It was brutal, and it wasn't fun. And so, yeah. I mean, did you, as far back as that, did you know?
Oh yeah, I figured it out when I was 12 years old, 1975. I don't remember what led to that. Discovery on my part. I do remember going to look up the word transsexual. Transgender really wasn't used back then. And the definition of that, you know, term fit me to a T at the time. And it was a real what the, you know what moment.
You can use that magic little word here. I mean, we don't have to worry about the FCC or anything.
It was a what the fuck moment. That was not a fun thing to figure out, and nothing has, of course, a transition, so nothing ever changed that for me, even after fighting it tooth and nail all my life and repressing and denying and trying everything in the world to try to mitigate it, to get rid of it, and nothing worked. And I am Christian. I tried praying it away, and God told me no, big fat no.
So in point of fact, you are living proof that it is impossible to pray the trans away, or in other people's cases, pray the gay away. It just doesn't happen.
Nothing happened. I couldn't find anybody on the internet that had done it. I mean, if you've done it, you would shout it from the rooftop. There's nobody, nobody. All the pray away gay organizations have gone belly up over the last 20 years. Most of those ones who ran it are now living as openly gay, have divorced their wives, and have married men. So it doesn't. It doesn't work. I'm sorry. You know, it would be nice if we all got a miracle, but we don't. We don't. So.
Did it feel like you were living in hiding?
Oh yeah, it's always, you know, the whole thing of living in a closet, and you've always got a secret. And you're scared to death someone's gonna find out. it's always hanging over your head, kind of like the sword of Damocles, you know?
And of course, if anybody does find out, then the world comes to an end, the sun explodes. I mean, that's what you tell yourself, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. If you come out, you'll lose everything. You'll lose your job, you'll lose your family, you'll lose your house, especially those of us who transition late in life, like I did. You know, I'll be 58 years old in a week. So this isn't something one does lightly. You just don't wake up one day and go, oh, my God, I think I'll just be a woman today.
And
you know, it doesn't work that way. It's a lot of soul searching through life, and it becomes, you know, how severe is your gender dysphoria? And it's in varying degrees with every trans person there is. Some do it young, some do it later. And your journey varies as to, you know, each individual. We have a mantra in the community of your mileage may vary. And that applies to everything related to being transgender.
So did it turn out to be, when you did come out in a state as blood red as Alabama, did it turn out to be the horrifying experience you expected?
No. No, actually it didn't. It turned out way better, like an order of magnitude better than I thought it would. I've been accepted by all my coworkers. They all gender me correctly. It took a bit, but, you know, after working with people for 7 years, and they know you as a guy, and you go from being John on Friday, and then you come in as Joan on Monday. It's a little bit of adjustment period for everybody. And everybody was absolutely wonderful. I had no complaints whatsoever. Very, very surprised. It's terrifying. As far as I know, I'm only the second person to come out, and I work in state government, and at the time I couldn't find anybody else who had done it. And I felt like I was going to be Rosa Parks, being transgender in state government of Alabama, a very red state. And, it all just went amazingly well.
And so, you know, the other part of it is, you know, for the damn fools out there who like to say things like it's a choice. Do you yourself, Terry, or anybody else, do you know anybody who would willingly choose?
No, I don't know of any of all the trans people I know. And I know quite a few these days, because as you talked about my activism, I'm on the board of an LGBTQ nonprofit here in Mobile called Rainbow Mobile. I also am the admin and run a transgender support group called Southern Transgender Alliance. We have over 620 members. And I also do a podcast on Facebook with a friend of mine up in Calgary, Canada, Nikki Marie Dawn. And it's called Trans Talk Raw, where we get together every Saturday morning and talk about issues related to the trans community. No, it's not a choice. Not a choice. One doesn't choose this. If you wrote down a list of all the pros and cons of being transgender and went through those and decided from that which one you would like to be, either cisgender or transgender. And a cisgender person is someone who is perfectly happy with the gender they were assigned at birth and have never questioned it in their life. That is cisgender.
So
transgenders question their gender that they were assigned at birth.
So, in essence, among the other hats you wear, you're a broadcaster too.
Yeah.
Well, when,
not on the degree, I think, but, you know, we do a live podcast to Facebook on Saturday morning and take questions and whatnot.
Well, tell folks how to find it and what time it is and all of that.
Okay, it is at 9:30. Central Daylight Time, and it's on Facebook. If you just search for Trans Talk Raw in the little search window up at the top, you'll find it. And you can actually watch our older episodes, because they're all recorded, and they're not edited, They're, as the term says, raw. We go off the cuff. We're both very, very intelligent women. We know our shit. And so we go off on various topics, news of the day, questions that audience asks in our chat window and whatnot. So
you're very straightforward in just in answering questions and trying to demystify and make your basic human nature more approachable and accessible, and I guess for some people less scary.
That's what we try to be, because you know we've been there and done it. When I started my transition, that's what I wanted most of all, to talk to someone who'd been there and done it, serve as a mentor, a source of experience, to give me hope that it'll be okay. That's all what we all want, you know, to hopefully know it's going to be okay and that this was survivable and I could have a better life. And so I'm now that person. You know, I want to be that person for others that are transitioning, starting their journey, trying to find information, and wondering what it's all about. And so that's what we did.
Well, and in point of fact, I mentioned, you know, we reestablished contact on our graduating class page, and that was via a post that you put up with a sort of a long riddle.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Who am I? And I recognized you immediately. And
did you recognize me from my picture?
No. I had to get all the way down to the bottom and the wizard and the wizard reference.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
And
then that's what I thought. Most people don't recognize me, even friends from before who haven't seen me. They don't.
And I just thought, son of a gun or daughter of a gun. And reached out and you messaged me. So, like I said, Agnes and I have watched the program two times now, the last 2 weeks. We enjoy it immensely. And not talking about Australia. We were laughing about that all day. you'll have to go two shows back in the archive to understand what I'm talking about, but it really, the last 3 weeks have just really, really blown my mind, because there couldn't have been a greater coincidence than that night that I ran across your post.
There are no coincidences.
No, there kind of aren't, are there?
So, no, they're not.
So Agnes and I are going to be you and Nikki's first guest of 2021.
That's right.
Because
kind of our anniversary show, because we started it last January. So, yeah.
So if you've been doing it for a full year, and we'll mark the anniversary broadcast.
That's it.
That's serendipitous.
Because I'm trans. And the Band-Aid is now ripped all the way off.
Band-Aid is ripped off, which was an amazing thing for me to find out, like 2 days after coming out on our high school page, that an old friend that I spent many hours on the football field philosophizing and ruminating on the things of life is just like me.
Yeah.
Just like me. Yeah, it's just so amazing. And, so amazing.
And I mean, we shared time on the stage in high school. There's even a photograph of you and me together on stage.
That's it. Yeah, that's right. The what was the damn thing called?
It was called the Matchmaker.
Matchmaker. Thank you. I always want to call it Taming of the Shrew.
You're fixated on that. No, you were. You were. I was Horace Vandergelder, and you were Joe the Barber.
I was Joe the Barber. That's right. Opening scene was you and I on stage, and I was shaving your neck and face with a sharp razor that was all taped up, so I wouldn't cut you.
And it was one of the most nerve-wracking experiences I've ever had on stage.
Yeah, it was mine too. Yeah, to open the play with both of them.
I remember your hands shaking.
I probably did, yeah.
Probably kind of like my hand is shaking now.
Yeah, this one's a little more nerve-wracking. You are very, as you'll hear a lot, you're very brave. I get that a lot. You're very brave, and it's more like, well, it was either this or die. So.
And given the choice.
Given the choice, how brave is that? And you just want to live, and you don't want to die because the stress of it is going to kill you. And if you don't do it, it's going to kill you. And so I didn't want it to kill me. And this was the only way out. You know, I'm a scientist. I've read all the data. I have read hundreds of medical papers about us. This is the only thing that works. It's the only thing that works. It's the only thing known to work.
Yeah.
It's transition, both socially and a lot of times medically. So.
Yeah. And my God, there's so much medicine involved in all of this.
Yeah, we go through puberty 2.0. How fun is that?
What a blast. And so by the time I saw that post of yours, and it was a couple of hours, and you sent me a message and said, hey, how are you? How you been? And I responded, well, you know.
You befriended me on Facebook, and I didn't know who the hell Bob Kincaid was.
Right. And so.
You weren't Bob Kincaid in high school.
No. I was still operating under the name that I was given at birth, and which I am kind of reclaiming at this point.
Yeah. There's another commonality with us. Yeah,
we both had names that were equally applicable to either gender.
Yes. Yes. I actually went and looked up the number of babies named Terry, the year of our birth. It's a little more males named Terry than girls, but not by a lot.
I remember, I think it was fourth grade when there were 5 Robins in my one class, just one classroom, not all of fourth grade, just one classroom. 3 were boys and 2 were girls. And, you know, and yet it was uniformly assumed that that was a girl's name. Even though it started out as a Scottish diminutive of Robert, I was actually named after a pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, Robin Roberts, and got tormented. I mean, you know, I don't know how much you went through, but the bullying was breathtaking and hateful.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think the first time I got called faggot was fifth grade.
I didn't even know what that word meant.
Well, neither did I, but if you say a word hatefully enough, you'll figure out that it ain't nice.
Generally the tone that goes with that word kind of gives you the hint. Mm-hmm.
And there were funny things. Like being 15 years old and receiving an invitation in the mail to compete in Alabama's Junior Miss.
Yeah, I got that one too. I was like, holy shit, how did they know?
Yeah, right. And you're on the outside, you're like, well, Black Stagging, not Paul Frazzleck, and I can't believe the nerve of them. And on the inside, you're going, oh, yes, let's go shopping for a gown.
Yeah, it was a weird dichotomy. That was a weird dichotomy.
It never let up because when I received my certificate suitable for framing from the state of West Virginia, it said, Robin Kincaid, having demonstrated her abilities.
Hey, it was prophetic.
Yeah, it's like, son of a gun, does the whole world know?
Oh, I know. All those things, you're like, oh, shit.
It's just too weird because when you messaged me and I said, well, you know, did this, did that, you know, 4 kids, 4 grandkids. And I started my transition 3 months ago.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, there's no coincidences. And I've been thinking about the 40th reunion. Hopefully we'll have it. And it was just on me that I wanted to come out to everybody in our class and how to do that. And I knew about the page because I had been on it in my former life. And but had gotten out of it, and I couldn't find it. Could not find it. I searched and searched on Facebook, nothing. And so I knew Liz was, you know, a classmate of ours was in it. And so I found her on Facebook, and I sent her a message and came out to her and explained things. And she was just absolutely wonderful, as I knew she would be. Because Liz was such a free spirit back in the day and still is. And so she's like, well, you know, it's up to you if you want to come out on the page and all that. And I think I did it the day after I talked to her about it. And I wanted it to be a fun thing. And so that's why I did the riddle of who I was. I didn't realize there were so many people on there that weren't in our class.
Lurkers.
Until, you know, yeah, well, from other years, like, 82, 83, 80. It's like, I thought that was, anyway, I wouldn't have done it that way if I had realized that there were many people, on it that weren't in our class, you know, cause I didn't think they would remember, but amazingly enough, several did remember me. And I was like, wow, I didn't know I was that well known. So, it was pretty cool.
And so, you know, it all comes with a great deal of misgivings.
Oh, yeah, guilt. Large slabs of guilt. Yeah.
And but a certainty that it's the, I mean, when you reach the point that you, when you get to the point where you do it, you know you're doing it because you have to. Can't be put off anymore.
Yeah. We all transition when we have to. It's basically it. It's not, you know, you're having such a happy, wonderful life, you just want to throw all kinds of shit into it. And so you'll transition. Well, yeah, no. You know, like when you're gay, you come out as gay. You're John on Friday. Well, you just come into work on Monday as gay John. We don't get that. We change our names usually. We change our genders. We change our clothes. We go on hormones. We go through just an order of magnitude of changes different than just coming out as gay.
And one of the things that happened for me was that when I had my consultation, and this is where I put in a plug for Planned Parenthood, God bless them, because I couldn't be doing this without them, because there aren't that many doctors that do this sort of thing, and they make it affordable for people who don't have health care like me. But
and all the gatekeepers that
are
involved.
Right. But, you know, we went over some of the risk factors, especially for people who are older. And one of them was, you're not going to be able to do this as a smoker.
No.
And so
bad.
I quit smoking, and 2 days later, I took my first dose. And so, as it turned out,
everybody doesn't know that is estrogen. We go on estrogen. It is called HRT, hormone replacement therapy, just like for a menopausal woman.
Yeah.
We go on the same stuff.
And
at a higher dose.
And so, it wasn't 2 days, it was 1 day, because as I pointed out on Facebook, my 100th day without a cigarette was Christmas Eve. My 100th day on hormone replacement therapy was Christmas Day.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, indeed. And so now,
great.
And so now with this, and part of this was that a considerable amount of this was driven, Terry, by the reality of the pandemic.
Yeah, a lot of people have come out during the pandemic. Yeah.
Because you realize that
a lot of people will go back to work as a different gender, too.
Yes. And so.
And when I say a lot, we only comprise like 1% of the population. So in America, we have roughly 330 million people, there's only like 3 million of us. We are the minority of the minority.
Yeah. And, you know, part of that, part of why this community is so despised is because it is a, it's a direct in your face challenge to the patriarchy and to, and the idea that one would give up one's male privilege is deeply frightening to a lot of people.
Men see us as taking a demotion. Men do not understand why a man would want to do this and give up all the privilege that a man has in life, which there is a lot of that. Women accept us. Other women accept us as we are. And it's been a most wonderful thing to be accepted.
And I have to say, in anticipation of this conversation, I've reached out to a lot of people who are very dear to me, and I have had a magnificent experience. It won't always be like this, but I've had a magnificent experience. The little funky liberal blue dot of a community that I live in a blood red West Virginia has been encouraging, welcoming, wonderful,
and I hope it's
happy.
Stayed that way.
I do too.
I hope
I've taken the last couple of days, you know, tugging at the Band-Aid, as it were. And so I've told people near and dear to me. And it has been a magnificent, affirming experience. And I have two people to thank primarily in regard to all of this. You're one of them.
And you're welcome.
Thank you. And the other is my beloved.
Mm-hmm. And whom I have met through the video, so she is awesome.
She is, and she came back here. She's standing here now. And she came back here and, you know, held my hand and literally patted my head. Because
good.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was
a
nervous wreck.
Yeah, of course you are. You will be. That's normal. Scary as shit. It's scary as shit to do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Because you're like laying your life on the line to people, to friends and family, and you hope. It's like, just don't kill me. Don't throw me out in the street. So many trans kids do get thrown out in the street.
Absolutely.
They commit suicide because they're not accepted. There's a 41% rate of suicide attempts in the trans community. 41%. It's huge.
And so
it's not because we're trans. It's because of how society, family, and friends treat us after they know.
Exactly. I just got a note in from Cynthia out in the Bay Area. And she said, like Terry, my own transition went well, too. Your mileage may vary depending on a lot of variables, and I sure feel lucky with mine. And for what I knew my body was wrong from my very first memory.
Yeah, a lot of people are that way.
And yes, the world was going to end horribly if anyone found out. All while I was terribly suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
I often found myself driving alone while screaming at God about it and contemplating driving into a concrete embankment at 100 miles an hour just to end it all.
Yeah, been there too. Mm-hmm.
And she adds, And she adds, yes, I was married and divorced because of it. That was back in 1988 or so. By the early 90s, I found people in the community who sure helped me. And by late 1995, I came out in fear to human resources at the company I worked at and told them my intentions. That was still a tricky time to do it, but I went full-time at work January 2nd, 1996, and I immediately felt like I'd won 95% of my coworkers, and I had tremendous support. And wouldn't you just know it? Once I went public, a ton of my coworkers came out to me as one form of LGBTQ+ or another.
Isn't that wild? Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not all perfect, but I'm much happier. Much. I had my surgery February 1997. I've had a more successful life since. I didn't rise to the highest station, and I didn't make the most money, but I've had a good life. It's not all perfect, but you still have a lot of the same problems, but this problem goes away, and you do get new problems as a result. But I'll tell you, I shudder to think what my life would have been if I had not transitioned. Thank you, Cynthia.
I'd be dead. Thank you, Cynthia. I'd be dead. I would be dead by now. I knew death was coming. I knew I had like maybe 2 years. My blood pressure was going up. I was having all kinds of physical issues. That was horrible. The stress was about to kill me. I just wanted to drop dead those days. Wanted just not to wake up in the morning. That would have been great.
And I know one. I've suffered from just terrible panic and anxiety all my life. And I and it's gone.
It's gone.
It's freaking
gone. I don't
have
GERD anymore. I had really, really bad GERD. Had been to the emergency room 6 times, thinking I was having a heart attack. All that's gone. Blood pressure's better. It's amazing. You get rid of that stress. And then the energy that you were spending fighting the dysphoria all the time, you spend it on other stuff.
It's kind of amazing.
The first time I felt normal when the dysphoria went away, I can remember thinking, oh my God, is this what the hell normal feels like? Like, holy shit.
I feel abnormally normal.
Yeah, because for me, gender dysphoria was always feeling like I was going to vibrate into a million pieces. Just constant dissonance, constant, always. We get better at times, kind of go to a dull roar. But then it would come to just a crashing crescendo of just being barely able to function each day. Because you felt like you were just going to shatter.
Exactly.
Well, it's gone, man.
Yeah, blood pressure that runs up to like 240 over 120, things like that.
Yeah, things like that. Mm-hmm.
Well,
but hey, we choose, you know.
Yeah.
Choose to have all those.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I don't want us to run through all of our topics before Saturday comes. That's Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
We'll be live on video.
Yes. And so it'll be a kind of a first chance for some people to see the transforming me.
We don't want video till the radio starts.
Precisely. Terry, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much.
Oh, girl, it's been such a blessing for me to meet you again after all these years, and we have this in common. It is just beyond wonderful for me, and it's so awesome to be able to help you and assist in any way I can. And to have met your lovely wife, who I think is just a jewel. We were so damn lucky with her. So thank you so much. Thank you for reaching out to me like you did.
I'm absolutely thrilled. And by the way, I heard on Twitter from one of our friends, and by the way, if you're able to convey this to Terry, please let her know that I'm tickled pink. We're ending the year with a geologist. Because it's a 300-million-year-old jigsaw puzzle.
That's it. It is a 300-million-year-old jigsaw puzzle. Yeah. I posted on Twitter a picture of my favorite rock.
You've showed me your favorite rock. I love your favorite rock.
Terry Ellen on Twitter with a little underscore dash in front of the T. So you can find me there as well.
So at underscore TerriElLen.
Yes. Terry Ellen, yeah.
And
just like it's on the chat window, so just like that.
And so if people go on Facebook and just look up Trans Talk Raw.
Yes, they'll see the videos. They'll be able to watch tomorrow
day after tomorrow.
You don't have to like log into anything. It just plays automatically, and then y'all can click on it, watch it, and chat questions at us. So yes, please do. We love an audience.
I have a feeling there will be a few folks clicking in maybe that haven't before.
Well, that'd be awesome.
I hope
that
so.
That would be
at
awesome.
Least.
Nikki will be thrilled.
Oh, I can't wait to get to know her better. She seems just wonderful.
She's great. She is best thing out of Twitter for me. Has been meeting Nikki. She has become just an awesome, wonderful friend. Just amazing.
Well,
we have yet to meet in real life because she lives in Calgary, Canada. So, you know, we're 2,000 miles apart from each other. We have an international flair.
Yes. And transnational, transgender.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Perspective from Canada and perspective from here in the States. And Nikki does a lot of activism up underway. And so, yeah, we have very diverse opinions. We don't always agree on stuff, but nothing too bad. Yeah, she's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, I will see you literally Saturday morning, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now we'll see you too. So, yeah. It's going to be great.
It's going to be wonderful. Terry, have a very happy New Year's Eve, and thank you for making 2021 begin better than, crossed fingers, I could have hoped. Thank you so much.
Hope the hell so. And thanks for having me on the show. Be happy to come back anytime.
It will be it'll be my pleasure to have you back, and I look forward to the further conversations.
That'd be awesome.
Thanks,
right,
Terry.
Well, you have a good evening, and we'll be talking to you Saturday morning.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. And that is my dear friend, Terry Ellen, who graciously agreed to join me on the program as I took what for me feels like a giant step forward. And I'm deeply grateful to her for it. But it is Friday on the front porch, and it's time to go over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And I should note, nothing about the program is going to change. Just me. And that's about it. It's radio, after all. We've gotten used to me doing naked radio in the summertime for years now, so it's just a different imagination set. And remember, there are $325 worth of matching challenges on the table, courtesy of Chris and Joey and Giraffe. We are $25 into it, thanks to George. Thank you, George. And so we got $300 to go. Let's wander over and see what's going on with the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable gang. Hey, Happy New Year's.
Hey.
Happy New Year, Sparky. Or impending.
It'll be a while yet. Still afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, 6 hours here, but hey, it's already
Blobbin now instead of Blob. I call you Blobbin.
It really doesn't matter. It doesn't. I answer to everything, but you know that's where I'm going. But it's cool. I'm not going to get bent out of shape about names or pronouns or anything like that, because this is where it is. What it is. But hey, it's already 2021, sort of, in places like Australia. So, woohoo! Sorry about some of the audio earlier, but we managed to get through. I don't know. Well, maybe we'll sort it out. And it's already New Year's Day, and
sounded like she had her radio playing in the background.
No, there was nothing back there. That was it. Was just a weird connection, And you got to remember that, and this may be part of it. It just dawned on me, Sparky. The asshole who blew up downtown Nashville. It fucked up cell communications all over the Southeast.
So that
may have been part of it.
It could have been, because they have to reroute all that shit.
Yeah, that's got to be a lot of
fun. Got to get one of those AT&T disaster teams in there.
and they got a lot of those, because AT&T generally is a disaster. But oh, yeah.
No, they have advertisements on the TV about them.
Oh, I know. And I figure they've got a lot of experience.
Yeah, with all the weather events and everything.
And mainly just because it's AT&T, too.
Well, yeah, I stopped using AT&T years ago. Although I do have AT&T stock. Because I inherited it and I don't want to sell it. The dividend's nice every quarter.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Steve here.
Yeah, hey, Steve.
Congrats, my good man.
Thank you very kindly. I do appreciate
it. However I can help. I'll help.
I appreciate it. It's, you know, this is the front end of something that's going to go for however long, you know, the rest of my life.
And frankly, finally something good about 2020. Too bad it had to happen 3 hours or 6 hours before it ends.
Yeah, but in truth, Steve, it didn't. I mean, this has been...
True.
Yeah, I'm coming up on 4 months next month, so it's just that... I felt kind of awkward about it because the first 3 months is just to find, you know, especially given my age, is to find out if my body would even tolerate the therapy.
Sure.
And so I didn't want to do anything premature, but now that it looks like I've taken more than a couple of steps on this road, then I felt like there would be no better time than now.
And In a little bit of disagreement with what you just said, now the entire universe knows, because we know what happens to radio waves. They'll go out into everywhere.
Oh, Jesus Christ. They're going to find out at Norblap 9. I didn't take that into account. Damn it.
Cockroach is going to know, Bob.
What's that, Rick?
Sentient cockroaches are going to know now.
Oh, yes. They'll probably build a statue or something 10 million years from now. Maybe this will be their Christmas.
Hey, by the way, did everyone see the good news? And this is going to sound really dark of me to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I should say additional good news.
No, what?
Senator soon to be defeated Perdue in Georgia now apparently has the Rona.
No, he was in contact with somebody that has it.
He's in quarantine, probably until the election's over.
So he's got to do all his campaigning on Zoom now.
Right, or from his basement. I hope Biden laughs at him.
Did you see that interview he did with that, what's that crazy congressman, ex-congressman? That run all the investigations on Hillary.
Nunez?
Gowdy?
No.
Gowdy?
I was thinking Gowdy.
He did an interview with Gowdy, and Gowdy asked him about his accomplishments, and he couldn't answer it.
So what have you done? Deer in the headlights look.
Well, when the only thing you can say is that I've spent 6 years insider trading, that just doesn't work out.
It was a George W. Bush moment. At one point late in his presidency, one of the people in the press gallery in the briefing room asked him, what would you say your major accomplishment is in your 8 years as president? And he had no answer. It was literally deer in the headlights moment for old George W.
No, I remember that.
Is the audio crappy or is it just me, folks?
I don't know.
I hesitate to say it's you. But...
Check your dongle.
Is it changing colors? Sounds okay to me.
it seems to have a little bit of a tin can sound. Is that just me?
I think I'll listen, guys.
Well, Bill, if you're just going to listen, let me say this, Billable. Don't, when you're out on the golf course, don't try to pet the coyote.
He just left the conversation.
Oh, darn.
Well, that's good advice for all of us.
Yeah, he posted a picture from one of his golf outings recently, and there's just a there's a coyote loping along the fairway, and don't try to make friends with the coyote. Pretty please.
No.
Blobbin.
Yes. Kind of neat.
Don't think I'm going to let that go, do you?
No.
Hey, man, we just changed it from blob to blobbin. That's easy.
Exactly. Exactly. Wait a minute.
Cowbell.
Yeah, that's a cowbell.
Yep.
Blobbin.
I just want to see you happy, brother. Congratulations.
and by the way, one of the funny little coincidences I was going to you mentioning that, Steve, reminds me. Another one of the weird little coincidences is that, you know, when Terry transitioned, she went from being a T-E-R-R-Y to a T-E-R-R-I. And so it turns out we're just swapping vowels because I'm going from being an R-O-B-I-N to an R-O-B-Y-N. So I got her Y and she got my I.
I'm no expert on these things, you know, especially the medical side of it. But I'll bet you, looking back on the process, that one of the biggest headaches is going to be getting official changes in official documentation handled.
It is a giant pain in the ass.
The medical part will be a relative breeze.
Well, for instance, where Terry is in Alabama, she could not get her gender markers changed on her driver's license until she had gender confirmation surgery. Some states are not so brutal, but they mostly are, you know, in the Confederacy. And I hope I'm not talking out of school on her. But
well, it's that patriarchy deal. You know, God obviously has a wang, and, you know, all true followers of God, as they understand him, must bow at that in adoration.
Yeah, and so, you know, some of that's in my future. I don't know how much of it's in my future. The thing is, my future is very tenuous in some regards at this point because, you know, I can do the hormone replacement therapy, and frankly, I have not felt better in years. This is probably the best I've ever felt is having started this. But the other part of it is I got no health insurance. And most health insurances will now cover the gender confirmation surgery. They won't. Yeah. They won't cover facial feminization surgery. They won't cover tracheal shaves. They won't cover breast augmentation. Some will, but they will cover the gender confirmation surgery. But I ain't got any insurance, so I may just kind of have to live with what I am, and I have to live with it one way or the other. I mean, if I had a gajillion dollars right now, I'd still have to continue at this for at least a year before I could get the necessary gatekeeper letters saying that I'm not just nuts and that I really do need this.
At least you're not nuts because of this.
Precisely. Thank you.
You're just nuts in general, man.
Yes, I confess freely.
And you know what? It's a one day at a time thing.
Oh, yeah.
One day at a time. You know, one step at a time. Don't try to take too much on because you're going to get frustrated and you're going to, and I'm only speaking from experience. I'm not preaching.
Well, the other thing too is, you know, I was going to call you Bob, no end of surprises, Kincaid. Okay. But I won't do that. The strange thing about life is more often than not, we each know when the perfect moment is to choose to do or not do, you know, to take a fork in a road. And it in hindsight, it makes perfect sense that it all seems to have unfolded wonderfully. But as you're going down the path, each and every step is a mystery and an adventure, you know? And there will be headaches involved, I'm sure, and frustrations.
No.
But, you know, life is already like that. You're already used to that aspect of being upright and above ground in life.
Well, I mean, frustrations, Tara and I think Tara's in the group this evening.
Speaking of Tara, I got this message that she's using a device that can record or broadcast this call.
Yeah, it's probably because of the nature of her interface.
What's going on?
Whatever you're using to, you know, for Skype, Tara.
Okay.
Skype is putting up a message. It says Tara is using a device that could record or broadcast this call.
Huh. That's odd.
It's what's weird. It's like they, you know, I don't know what they could.
Well, I have some setting on here that I had. I don't know what it is, but it's not like whenever I do interviews or whatever, it's it's the NDRI setting that has to be clicked or something. So. Whatever. I don't know what that means, but it's part of Skype. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's Microsoft. So why wouldn't you expect weird messages to pop up and suddenly something that you didn't change worked some way and then all of a sudden it works a different way?
That's weird, though. Yeah. That can record or
broadcast
this call. Weird. Because, I mean, I have the eCam. That's what I do. I use for my show. But the eCam's not on right now. It's not open. So it's weird. Anyway.
But at any rate, you and I were talking last night, and Scott was talking about frustrations a minute ago. And I said, you know, the biggest one I've run across so far is, you know, women's shoes in size 13W.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, flip-flops in January are not a good look.
Right. But things have gotten a lot better because I'm 6 feet tall and I've always had problems getting shoes. And when I was a kid, you know, this is years ago, it wasn't internet. Now we can go on the internet and get whatever the hell you want. But I remember going into a shoe store in the mall, and this is when my shoes, I was still growing, and I only wore a 10 at that time, okay? And now I'm a 12. So I asked the guy, do you have any shoes in 10, size 10? And he went, no.
No.
But he like gave him a raspberry. He was like, no.
Well, here's what to do, Bob, if you need a shopping tip. Back in the 70s, back in my D.C. days, I had a friend. Now, I'm 6'4", and my friend Robert was 6'6", and was a drag performer. You've got to shop where the drag performers shop.
Yeah, but if I wear the shoes the drag performers wear, I will break an ankle and or a hip.
Well, you know.
I'm an English major, remember?
We almost suffer for our art, you know? It's
Zappos is the way to go. That's
I've started browsing, but...
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just.
It makes it so much easier. You just pick your size, and then you don't even. They give you all the sizes that are in your size, and all of the options that you have. So you take it from there. And I'm grateful for it. It's great. So anyway.
And
not
I had
monopolize.
No, you're not at all. But just to share a couple of notes, I had a note from Charlene in Rogues Island who said, congratulations, Robin. What a tremendous way to start the new year, coming out to the Horn family. All my best. And Tracy was messaging me while it was going on, saying, you got this. And and I felt like I was going to freaking faint or have an aneurysm. But it's just really cool. The Band-Aid's all the way off, and I couldn't be happier.
Right. And now you can – that's why you're not anxious, and you're – You got that missing piece is finally there.
Yeah, P-I-E-C-E and P-E-A-C-E at the same time.
Oh, wait.
And I need to send out thanks both to Charlene in Rogues Island and to Kat in Ohio. Thank you both so kindly. We are now down to only $200 to go to finish Chris in Germany's challenge. Thank you so much. And hopefully other folks will join alongside, and we will have 2020 freaking lit.
Mm-hmm.
God, I don't remember I mean, I've been to New Year's Eve parties and stuff. We've all done that kind of stuff. And some years are better than others. But I don't remember a time when I have more actively just despised a year and right. wanted it to go the hell away.
Yeah. Well, I've had bad years and feeling like, oh, I hate New Year. You know, whatever. I don't hate New Year's. I don't get excited about it. But now it's everybody is saying how much they hate 2020. So I feel like it's a whole community thing. It's right. Like there's nothing going on in Times Square tonight. The mayor was on TV earlier and he was saying, we're ready to kick 2020 to the curb and move forward. You know, everybody just hates 2020. It sucks. It does suck. It probably was one of the worst years we've had collectively, but it's, you know, I did a show early and we were discussing like if 2020 was a test, did we fail this test? Of course we failed it. Not us, the normal people, but look at this country. Look at the
number. You know, for years I've referred to the presidential election, Tara, as our quadrennial one question IQ test.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pass fail. And look at the number of people in this country who failed it.
Exactly. Exactly. How do you like the one of the things I was talking about on the show, because I live in Queens, New York, and there I don't know if it's I guess it's getting some national attention. The White Stone Republican Club had a big Christmas party, and this was a couple of weeks ago, and it got all over the local news because we're in lockdown, and there's all the rules. You're not supposed to have indoor parties. If you have a gathering, they suggest it be outside and everybody social distance and wear masks. And so, of course, this filthy Republican club had a big giant party where they had a drunken conga line, maskless and indoors, violating all the rules, all the social distancing, everything. This, it was this as if there was no pandemic, of course. And then, of course, they were making excuses and, oh, we needed to blow off steam. They never apologize. Being a Republican means never having to say you're sorry, right?
Yeah.
So now it's coming out that all the first it came out that one person is hospitalized with COVID. Then it's they're testing people. All these other people are testing positive for COVID. So this was yet another super spreader event. And all those people that they came in contact with, this is the problem. Right here in Queens, we have refrigerated morgues on the street in front of the hospitals. And these fuckers are having a maskless Christmas party. And they're saying, oh, we just needed to blow off steam after this very emotional election. Like, fuck you. Yeah, this is a crisis. This is a war that, you know, Twitler likes to call himself a war president. We're in the middle of a war, and these scumbags are really aiding and abetting the enemy, giving aid and comfort to the enemy while people are dying, and they don't give a shit in any way, shape, or form. It's such an embarrassment too to be an American, for the rest of the world to look at us like, what is wrong with them? And to see there are no bread lines in any other country. They're not dealing with this shit. And did you see Mitch McConnell tonight said that he doesn't want to give $2,000 checks to people because it's socialism for the rich? That's what he said.
And, right. And he said it was just for Democratic buddies.
Yeah.
I think the story that's creeping me out the most right now, Tara, is this story out of Wisconsin at Aurora Medical Center north of Milwaukee.
What
where
happened?
500 doses of vaccine,
oh, that's right.
500
yeah.
human lives for all intents and purposes,
yeah. Right.
At first, they thought they, you know, the whoever it was reached into the fridge to get their lunch and forgot to put the vaccine back.
Right.
Now they know it was now they know it was intentional. So that means there's some anti-vaxxer asshole.
Right.
In a hospital. And how do you make, you know, how would a prosecutor make that fit an attempted murder charge? Because that's 500 counts of attempted murder.
Right. Exactly.
But you can't attach a victim's name to it.
Mm-hmm. But we're all the victim here. That's it. With these idiots that we all have to.
And then, right before showtime, I got an email. Who sent it? The pharmacist in Wisconsin. It was the pharmacist, and he's been arrested. Ralph's told me that. And then the other story had something
The pharmacist was the one that did the vaccines?
Yes. What? Yeah. And then the other story I saw was from here in West Virginia, and they accidentally gave 41 people the monoclonal antibody instead of the damn vaccine.
And what does that do?
Well, not dick.
Shit. Well, there you go.
Unless, you know, you've got some condition that it treats.
Right. Well, this country is such a shit show. It's so embarrassing, really. And
Tara?
Yes. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, not to interrupt, but as you were struggling to figure out a descriptor for 2020, I've been contemplative these last few days because I always am at the end of the year. And this year has been, it's just been a fucking humdinger.
Right.
This year has been relentless. And it has not only been relentless. Do you remember the movie Alien? That pivotal scene when the alien grabs onto the face of John Hurt?
Right.
I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
This year has been in our face, no matter where we look.
Right.
And we just keep
right onto our.
Right. And every time we lay down, we keep waiting for it to jump out of our guts and go, ah!
Yeah, right.
Chest burst. But the thing is, it on its own, if everybody were behaving normally, properly, I should say,
right.
It would still be a relentless year. But right. We've got these fucking, they're doing right. Congo lines and all manner of madness, pretending as they're like drivers, the first snow of the year, people driving down the highway. Like it's the first day of fucking spring.
Right.
It's madness. It's just out and out madness. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but
please.
Relentless is the word for this fucking year. Up in our face.
You're right. And the year was hard enough. It would have sucked anyway, going through this pandemic.
Yeah,
sucked.
But consider, and I mentioned this a few nights ago, if you think about the last 4 years of shit show that we've been through, and as awful as this has been, doesn't it kind of make sense that this would be the whipped cream on top of the shit of a Trump presidency?
Yeah, of course. Where you have, of course, and that's what actually I was saying this on the show, too, is like, of course, it ends with mass graves and refrigerated morgues on the side of the street. How else will it end whenever a right winger gets control of your government? I mean, really, can somebody tell me, and I've asked this, I give this open question all the time, but it's one of the questions is we always ask this, what have Republicans ever done, or conservatives more specifically, to make the country better? But let me ask, has there ever been a conservative government that is successful? Has there been, I mean, for the majority, wherever you look, when you see a conservative government or so-called conservative, you see suicide rates go up, death, disparity, people suffering, bread lines. I mean, every time we have these right wingers in office, the country breaks out in bread lines. So the thing that's baffling too is why, how How do people vote for them? Like the, you know, Purdue, what's his name? And Kelly Loeffler, all these crooks, these insider traders, they get, the only reason they're in office is to enrich themselves in the, and regardless
yeah, it's,
of the pandemic,
it's all leather, it's all lather, rinse, repeat. The Democrat gets in, they behave fiscally responsibly, they fill the treasury up, and then the Republicans come along and fucking loot the place.
That's right. It's, and then these fucking morons vote for them, though. And like, for example, what tonight when Mitch McConnell said, oh, socialism for the rich. And how Mitch McConnell, you got one fucking scumbag.
Well, he is our ruler, Tara. And I've been hammering on that for months now. He is the ruler of America.
Right. And
by virtue of the votes of 1.3 million people in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Stan.
Right. Who, like, yeah, I mean, the same population as a small town in Queens here. And this fucker gets, who doesn't even represent the majority of people, doesn't, who didn't receive the most votes. This is the other thing. The right
doesn't
way.
Doesn't even represent his state.
Right. So they don't, they're a tyranny of, it's the tyranny of the minority, of course. But this fucking Mitch McConnell, the fact that he can walk around in life and not be continuously harassed and hounded is our failing as citizens. He needs to, all that has to happen is that, but this is the result of the fact that we're all divided.
You know, Tara, you really do bring out the best in people. I just got a note from Kyle in Kentucky, Stan. All caps. Fucking asshole piece of shit right wingers, Jesus Christ. What the fuck? And then on the pharmacist in Wisconsin, what the fuck? How do pharmacists not know the difference between it? No, this is the people in West Virginia. How do pharmacists not know the difference between a vaccine and antibodies? Also, good to hear Tara on the show tonight. She's great. And then adds tax cuts, deregulation, and destruction of the social safety net programs. That's the only good thing the fucking right wingers are good for. You got Kyle all worked up, Tara.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I say something real quick regarding what?
Steve, can you hold it for just a minute? Because I got some thank yous to send out.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Man, I'm sorry, man. Right. Give me some time, okay?
Did I object? No. Okay. You're cool. Okay. You're cool. Okay. So thank you to David in South Carolina, Stan. David got us down to 175 to go on Chris's challenge. And then along came Cynthia. And got us down to 150. And Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus got us down to 130. And let's see. No, I'm going the wrong way. That's 130. Wait a minute. Okay, 175, 150. 150, then down to 130. And so thank you both very kindly for jumping in on the challenge. We got $130 to go to finish 2020 and kick it in the teeth. And let me share just a couple of other notes because this is just so, Lee in New York earned a cowbell. If 2020 was a test, my pen would leak. The other pens would be dried out, the pencil points would break, and I could not find the sharpener, and finally anything electronic would have dead batteries. That yes, that's so 2020.
Yes.
And thank you so kindly. Just these lovely notes coming in. Cynthia out in the Bay Area sending congratulations, and I do so appreciate it. I so do. Welcome... By the way, Robin, welcome to my club. Yay, I'm thrilled for you. Thank you. And it's wonderful. The response has been fantastic. I have a note from Tom in sunny San Rafael. And this one just busted me. Well, maybe that's why you've always made so much sense, Tom says. Robin, it puts me in mind of a story I remember about Abraham Lincoln. After delivering the Gettysburg Address, he supposedly mentioned to a friend that he was disappointed there was no applause. His friend said, Mr. President, you don't applaud after a prayer. Damn. Wow. Thank you.
And
yowza.
And Dan says, congratulations. Wow. What a great start to the new year and your new life. Way to go, Robin. Thank you, Dan. Thank you so much. And practical advice on shoes. Matt in San Francisco, the Horns Den mother, says, I wear a 15 in women's. I don't recommend drag shoes. However, if you want to learn to walk sooner in high heels, buy them, put them on, and vacuum the house. Not sure why it works, but it works. Congratulations, Robin. Thank you, Matt. Thank you so very much. All of this is just... And just by way of comparison, can you imagine... Because some of them are just so fucking obsessed with sex, and particularly women. Can you imagine being poor little right-winger Jacob Wohl or poor little right-winger Charlie Kirk? Ugh. And one of them coming out as trans?
Get it. That was, jeez, that was the end.
Yeah, the screaming would be able to be heard on Norblap 9.
They don't have the courage. That's the thing. This is why you can throw a rock in a Republican, I call them Republicans, but the Republican convention, and you'll hit somebody who's in the closet somehow, because they lack the courage to live an authentic life. It takes courage to be who you are. And you know, they like to call themselves rugged individuals, but just try being an individual in the Republican Party and you see what happens to you. They're not individuals.
You'll be savage.
Yeah, forget it. They don't accept anybody. They don't. And I was telling the story on my show one day because I saw some TV show, whatever, about a woman whose child, as the child grew, it was just a baby, and then it started getting old enough to talk. But since it's as it always identified, it was born a male. As I am trying to remember correctly, either way, it doesn't matter. And it was identifying as a female. So she would tell her mother, I'm a female, I'm not a boy. And so this person was a real holy roller. And the kid was registered in one of these Christian schools, and the whole community were involved with the church. So all her friends were from this church. And she went to the school and said, you know, my child is a female, so they will be using the female bathroom and be in that, you know, trying to help her kid not kill himself or herself. Or I'm trying to remember. I don't know which. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. The point is they kicked the kid out of the school, and she said that all of her friends from the church, they stopped talking to her.
Oh, sure.
They completely ostracized her. And she said, I never forget what she said. She said, I'm fighting for my child's life, and they left me on the battlefield. And, you know, it was a real eye-opener for her.
Ta-da! Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
The kid wasn't a fetus.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. A fetus.
It was a rugged individual, yeah, after all, right?
And let me thank Ralphs and Jude and Women's Standing. Thank you so much. Thank you so very kindly. We are down to 110 to finish Chris's challenge. That's fantastic. Frank with a note says, at midnight, I will not be singing Auld Lang Syne. I will be singing Old Anxiety. Well played, Frank. Well played.
I wanted to say something real quick about Charlie Cook, Kirk, et cetera.
Yes.
I mean, I agree that they couldn't come out as – but the problem is they'd have to first come out as human.
Ah, you beat me to it. It was on the tip of my tongue.
That's a tough one for them.
Oh, Christ. Hey, by the way, Tara, you live in Queens?
Yes.
Where – I live in Queens. I live in Ozone Park.
I live in Sunnyside.
Oh, shit, right off the 7 train.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
I know, Bob. It's like it's the same with California or L.A.
You're from Jersey? I'm from Jersey. Yeah, what exit?
Or like in California, I live off the whatever. Okay. It's one of my favorite areas. I lived in Woodside, and
yeah,
I had to move because I had a roommate who strangled me and threatened to stab me. And it was,
oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Home sweet home.
Yeah, exactly.
That sucks.
Oh, and I have all kinds of weird stories about the guy. I'm a lawyer, and like 3 days after he does this, he's asking me to represent him in a case.
Wow. Well, he's mentally ill.
Oh, what? He's, yeah. No, you're.
And the possessor of no small amount of brass.
Wow. Yeah, you had to get
it. I got a note here from Jude. Great to hear Tara and all who are part of this community. It feels safer knowing all of you are out there. Peace, mm-hmm. Jude. Thank you,
Jude. I met you one time.
Yes? Where?
When Mike was in town, he and Molly were in town when she did the thing at Carnegie Hall. What was it? Tavor or something like that up on 86th Street, I think it was.
It was the parlor, wasn't it?
Is that what it's called, the parlor?
I don't know. It was in the basement.
In the basement there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And Sam Cedar was there.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a good time. It's a good time.
Oh, and by the way, Jude asked, she said, I just tuned in and wondering about your sense of excitement about what? Hugs. So I guess, we are coming up on the third hour of the program, and there may be people who tuned in late. For New Year's Eve, I'm celebrating by coming out as trans and started my transition. So that's what all the excitement is about, Jude.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Bob, I did want to tell you one other thing. Or, damn it.
It's okay.
But you have to understand something. I'm still going to call you dude or duder. Because duder or dude is not about gender or sex. It's just, it's a way of life. You do understand that, right?
Duder?
Yes.
As in the Big Lebowski, the dude.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Dudette. Yeah, sure.
Nah, it's just everyone is the dude.
Yeah, right.
Everyone. Yeah. I don't care if you're a woman, man, and everything in between. You know, the dude is the ultimate genderless, sexless moniker.
It has become that
because it's a way of life.
Oh, it's and you got a note, Tara from Tamara.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Robin, I had my phone all charged up to call into the program to say Happy New Year. It had been since last solstice. I don't know if Tara is still there, but last Thanksgiving I was in Portland, Oregon, when a Tara Devlin was paged.
What?
I really wanted to leave the boarding area and see if it was her. Anyway, wow. It says Tamara, I'll call on another day. Call anytime, Tamara. You know, the door's open and you're always welcome. Flavio says, congratulations, dear Robin. I had to step outside and run some errands during the first hour, but I realized what I had missed. I'll have to go back and listen to the last half hour of the first hour that I missed, and now I'm confused. But thank you, Flavio, and thank you to Irwin, who says, from a semi-cowboy in Montana, you're even more admired by all, including myself. I expect the same quality show with continued inspiration. I will do my dead level best, and I don't know. Maybe there'll be a little more fashion talk. Who knows?
Bob, I got news for you.
And Jude says, my heart be still. Endearing is your authenticity. Smiling here. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so much.
I got news for you. even though I came out as gay and I probably suspect that you probably have it's similar with you, even on the other side of it, is neither one of us have fashion sense.
Yeah.
I will have you know.
Uh-oh.
That my beloved wife has told me that she is proud of me because I seem to be displaying a little bit of a sense of style. So there's that, one. Oh. Two, she made me promise that I would keep my inner 12-year-old girl, complete with tutu, locked in a Barbie dream house in the basement. And I'm going to do my dead level best. But naked,
wow.
But by summer, naked radio could get really interesting.
I need to consult.
Okay, hello?
Tracy. Hello, Tracy. Yes, Tracy.
I have been dying to say this. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey.
Where's the cowbell?
Right there. Right there. Oh, it's so there.
Hey, baby. How are you feeling?
Oh, you know, before the program started, I was as nervous as a wax cat before the insulated gates of hell, and I'm ashamed of myself because I should have known better. But you can't not be nervous about it.
Dude, I mean, and I'm saying dude because I say dude all the time. And like, I think Steve was saying,
it's dude, I understand.
You know, it's a way of life.
It's I have been saying dude since the 80s because, you know, I went to high school in the ballet. So I'm allowed to say dude.
Right.
What? Like, oh my God, I'm the blackest valley girl you'll ever know. But but I am, you knew who you were. You know who you are. You've known who you are and were for as long as you can remember. And you finally are being able to be your authentic self. And it must feel a fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Because let everyone else know and let everybody else share.
Because I know how I felt when I realized that I was a lesbian. I'm like, wait, no wonder all my relationships with men never worked. I mean, no wonder I was never happy with, you know, identifying as straight. Nothing worked until I met my wife. And I'm like, oh, is this what it is? Okay. I mean, I was never closeted or anything like that. I just didn't realize who I was. So I give kudos to you for knowing who you have always been. That must be to, and because to know who you are and to now be able to live your truth. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I mean, free at last. Thank God Almighty. You're free at last.
You know, I have thought that, but I didn't dare give voice to it because I didn't want to appropriate it.
Mm. Well, I said it. I'm black, so I'm allowed.
Well, okay, I'll fix that.
Don't do it, Scott.
Wait. I got an observation. Hold on, Scott. Scott, hold on, because okay. I gotta share okay. something from Asa real quick, because Asa just made an observation. Tracy, you now have a little bit of a problem. Not a big problem, but a little problem. You know, it's not anything you did. But Brother Deacon Asa observes, Tracy is no longer allowed to complain about listening to a bunch of white men talking.
You got me on that one. I can still say white people. I usually just say I'm just listening to the white folks.
You said white boys.
Yeah, white boys, white folk. You know, but so now I can't complain. There's a white. There's officially now another white woman, a white woman on the show, and I'm excited because you're in charge.
Yeah,
totally
she's
girl power, dude, total.
And she's 6 feet two and 220 pounds and plays linebacker in on the weekends. No. there's still some dysphoria out there. Oh, there certainly will be.
There will be. But again, sweetheart, I cannot tell you how proud I am of you and how happy I am for you. And I'm looking for, if I wake up, because I've been sleeping in a lot because I have no life now. But if I can remember to wake my happy black ass up at 7:30 in the morning on Saturday, I will be listening to the show on Facebook.
Well, and that would be lovely. But remember, the archive is also a possibility. So
yeah, but I want to hear it live if I can.
I know. I'm that way, too. But it's going to be a blast. And those two women are a hoot. They are a hoot.
I'm excited for.
And they're not kidding. I mean, they are not afraid to talk about any damn thing relative to the trans community, and some of it's information that I desperately need.
Yes, you do.
I mean, and one of the things, you know, I've gotten this 3.5 month education in pharmacology, pharmacokinetics. Holy God, some of these communities that I've checked in on trying to learn, trans women get absolutely militant about which medications are right. I mean, holy crap, you know, injections versus patches versus pills. Do you want to, you know... You always want to avoid the first pass of the liver metabolism, and I'm sitting there thumbing through the... Hey, Siri, what the fuck is the first pass metabolism of the liver? And, you know, which drug blocks testosterone production better? I mean, oh my Jesus. There is so much. And the funny thing is, and you know, this is a tie-in with the usual complaints about the big pharma. There is an anti-androgen out there, and almost all of these have been developed for men with prostate cancer. So, you know, two good things are happening out of this, just regardless of everything else. My risk of prostate cancer has significantly dropped, and my bald patch is filling back in.
So, oh, shit.
I'm really excited about that. But the best of all the anti-androgens is this injection you take once every 30 days. One of the names of the drugs is Luprolide. And it works like gangbusters. I mean, it just, you know, goodbye testosterone. And it's $1,500 a month.
Oh, man.
What? And you have no insurance.
No. But here's the funny part. I picked such great times. It comes off patent in 2022, but I couldn't wait another 2 years because I'd waited long enough as it was. And so everything, all the medical therapies and everything are entirely invented. As Terry pointed out, there's so few of us, relatively speaking, and, you know, we're so despised anyway, we're really not worth studying. Mm-hmm. And so, there are these ancient drugs. I've talked on the program from time to time about, I can't have my tomato juice anymore because I got to watch my potassium. Well, it turns out that the blood pressure medicine I take is potassium sparing, and so is the thing that I take to dry up my testicles. And so, you know, and if you got too much potassium, it fucks with your heart rhythm. So I'm trying to find my way off of that. There's been some moments of real frustration. Only me. You're going to love this. You're going to laugh. So I started in mid-September. Excited. I'm using patches. And so I insisted that we take a baseline blood level draw before I started. And it said that my testosterone was like 584. And, you know, all people have some estrogen. Mm-hmm. And my estrogen was 26. So, okay. So we're going to try to drive the estrogen up to 300 and drive the testosterone down to 15. So we do a blood draw at 30 days, and it comes back, and I fucking cried. And I get to do that now, which is awesome.
Right.
And it's really cleansing when it happens. So I have my 30-day blood draw. I call my provider. She says, okay, here's your results. And in 30 days, okay, we had knocked my testosterone down to 180. So knocked my testosterone down by 400 points. Cool. My estrogen was 11 points lower after 30 days on estrogen than it was before I fucking started. Only me. And it's like, really? Really? And so now, you know, I've got so many of these damn patches on, I look like a fucking piece of overseas mail. With everything but the goddamn postmarks. Oi. But hopefully, you know,
and
I get
Fragile. A big Fragile sign.
Fragile. It's Italian. And so, you know, there we are. But it's terribly, terribly exciting. And thank you to Yuki. Our dear friend Yuki, we've got $10 left to go on Chris's challenge, and then we can kick 2020 in the teeth, and I don't have to talk about this anymore. But this is all just thank you so very much.
Well, that's one of the things. The fundraising is one of the things I wanted to pop in about because of the holiday, the Social Security instead of the third will arrive at 10 o'clock tonight. So I'll be sending in $10 at 10.
Then you just finished it off.
My direct deposit happens.
Thank you,
but
Scott.
But the other thing, you didn't want to appropriate free at last. Back in the 80s, a guy that I met only once, but someone I admired for years, Frank Kameny, Dr. Frank Kameny, who was the head of the Mattachine Society in Washington, a very early gay rights activist and organization, back in the 60s coined the expression gay is good and even made up little buttons. This is back in the 1960s, back when it was way unfashionable. But just to stretch that mindset, gay is good, bi is good, trans is good, straight is good. You know, so never mind the free at last. You are free at last or getting there. Just get you a trans is good or T is G button for West Virginia use and let them try to figure out what it means.
Yeah, no kidding. And I got a question here from Elbert in Rhode Island. Robin, how will your transition affect your voice? Not at all. This doesn't. I can work on it with speech therapy and stuff, but, you know, I don't want to sound like Terry Jones in Life of Brian.
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here.
Or no, Cody Fields.
It, no, please, please. That and I will be working on that. The other thing that's coming up is 5 delightful years of getting electrocuted all over my face. So much fun. Come on down. There's a lot going on down here. Yeah, but that's part of it. Got a note from Greg. Damn you, lucky guy, gal, Bob, Robin. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting impatiently for I Wanka My Daddy Trump Kushner to finally come out with some I Wanka brand mantyhose so I don't have to feel embarrassed when I secretly wear that type of hosiery. But now you just get to go for it and get the plastic egg with legs. I've met a few transgender people online, and what I really like about them is they're all proud of their lovely-looking legs and seem to also love wearing nylons, too. Yay. So just let me take this opportunity to whistle at yours and say, hubba hubba hey, P.S. JCPenney silk reflections are inexpensive and are of great quality, but those Hooters, those tights the Hooters girls wear sure look fun and nice, too. Hope this comes off as humorous and non-offensive as it's meant to be. It absolutely did. I giggled the first time. Mantyhose. I remember when they sold those at Spencer's Gifts, mantyhose. And there's, you know, there's just, I mean, you can go, once you go down this rabbit hole, there's so, it you realize, and, you know, how many things and places are touched by the inherent bigotry that is, you know, scorched into our beings from birth, that we refer to collectively as just the patriarchy. And there's going to be so much to learn. Really. And now I got to get a pair of heels and a vacuum cleaner. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Oh, what a time. What a time.
Another new thing will be going to the restroom in groups.
You
haven't done that as a man, I'm sure.
No, and I'm still at the point where I'm using the men's room. It's a little strange to go sashaying into the men's room in a lovely skirt, but yeah, whatever.
So nobody's given you a hard time yet.
No.
How tall are you, Bob?
6'2".
So yeah, if anybody gives you a hard time, you just look at them in that kind of B. Arthur look, like, excuse me, you want to fuck with me?
Yeah, you talking to me?
You're talking to me, because you know what? The only people who are going to care are maggots. And when they see a 6'2" woman, they're going to be like, oh, maybe I should just go pee in my car or something.
And so, you know, I've told Boss Man Wayne, and I have, I gave Malloy a call, and, a couple of my closest colleagues in the mountaintop removal struggle. And I'll tell you something, there are these little affirming moments that I'm looking for. One of them I'm really looking forward to. When I've
hard to hear you. Somebody is breathing into the microphone.
It's wind. But when we
that
go,
that was me, and I put all myself on mute.
So when we go and we do the work, the mountaintop removal work in D.C., we very seldom go into a Republican office because there's just no point.
Right. Wasting your energy.
Yeah, we got limited time, limited funds. We got to, you know, we got to hit the best licks we can. So we spend our time going into Democratic offices. And for so, you know, and we've been doing this for 8 years. And so at a lot of these offices, next to the state flag and the flag of the United States, the trans flag is also displayed. Mm-hmm. And the rainbow flag.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be a sign that says, like, all are welcome or inclusive or something like that. And I can't tell you over the last 8 years how many times, or the trans flag hadn't been around that long, I don't think. But how many times I've looked at those trans flags and said, someday, someday.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be awesome to be able to do that work as my authentic self. It's right. going to be fantastic. And
that's, so they display the trans flag,
yeah,
along with the regular, you know, the old rainbow flag.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's and Converse now makes a pair of trans Chuck Taylors that I badly want.
This is good stuff. I mean, this is how society changes. And
yeah, and the yeah. debt of eternal gratitude to those who went before, I understand now in ways I think I never did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the concept of standing on the shoulders of giants,
right,
is very, very real from my perspective, and it must certainly feel that way in the other parts of the community, the other colors, the stripes of the rainbow. And, you know, I think about the fact that, you know, Stonewall happened because a bunch of trans people finally got fed the fuck up.
Right. Well, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, when Terry was talking about her podcasting partner being from Canada, it brought to mind how far rights groups have come in just my lifetime. Back in the early 70s, I volunteered once a week for the gay switchboard in D.C., where people who had questions or were concerned about, you know, had no one to talk to otherwise. That was the purpose of the switchboard, 24 hours a day. People could call and have a friendly person to listen and answer questions if questions came up. And we used to get a lot of publications back then from around the country, gay publications, and also from international groups who published newsletters and magazines and newspapers. And there was one from Canada, and the big headline at the time, this would have been around 73, 74, and I want to say it was in Quebec, or Toronto, where the local police on a regular basis would shut down, break in and shut down the headquarters of the gay organizations in either Quebec.
Yeah, roust them.
Yeah, yeah. And now, you know, they're an accepted part of the overall community by and large. And this has just been in the last 50 years, close to 50 years. You know, people sometimes don't give our fellow human beings a lot of credit in terms of, it may take a while, but sooner or later, people will be open to who and how you are. Mm-hmm. Without hanging a label on you. Not everybody, obviously. There's still work to do, but it's you know, even though there's much to do and change still must happen, we've come a long way just in my lifetime, and I'm not all that old, you know. Mm-hmm. But when she was mentioning, you know, her Canadian partner on the podcast, it made me think of that. And I always try to be encouraging when I can. So that's my encouraging word.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, indeed. And thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul, very kindly for jumping in. We are we've started on More in Monday's program now. Thank you, Paul. And so we will start More in Monday at 2:80. Thank you. So, you know, I guess I did kind of mean to turn this into this, but I want to make sure that everybody gets their say. Steve in New York, you actually had, and I put you off for a minute. You had something you wanted to say earlier, and I don't know if you got it said.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just a sycophant, so what the fuck do I know?
What?
Tara's like, what the hell? there was an email a million years ago where people bitched that all the people on the horn were sycophants of Bob. So
oh,
I just
really?
Which is, I mean, Bob and I have had plenty of disagreements, even in discussions we've had offline. Like, what the hell are you talking about, Steve? Although that seems to be a common retort when people talk to me. I don't remember what it was. What were we talking about?
Oh God, I'm not entirely certain, but
must have been a lie. I had a friend of mine who, if you didn't remember something, that was his response. Must have been a lie.
Hmm. That's a good one.
So, oh, I know what I was going to say. Tara talked about things that conservatives did good for the country. And I agree. I don't think any conservative has done anything. I think there have been Republicans who did decent things for the country.
I'm not saying that facetiously. Who?
Oh, I know. Eisenhower with the Interstate Highway.
Okay.
But he would not be today.
Yeah, no, he'd be a Democrat. He'd be a middle of the road Democrat.
Old 666 himself, what Ronald Wilson Reagan would not be welcome in the Republican Party today.
Nixon gave us the EPA.
Right, EPA. That's true.
But the point is these people, if you resurrected or cloned an Eisenhower, Nixon, or Reagan and didn't give them those names,
right,
and you put out that platform,
yeah. That's true.
They wouldn't fit. They're not right wing enough.
Right. That's true.
That's right.
That's all it means. I mean, the Republicans today, it's just a greed centered death cult. That's about it. And the only thing they do is make the rich richer and ensure that the working people, the majority of people, don't have any recourse to do anything about it. And that's their whole goal. So,
and it's not only the rich richer, but it's the poor poorer.
Yes. Well, that's the thing.
Well, that's where they get their jollies.
Yes. Well, Mitch McConnell sees a bread line, and it's like the substitute for Viagra for him. They love it. Especially like a granny eating cat food. Oh,
yay. Because my grandma from, you know, rural Ohio was a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. But she always said that she was an Eisenhower Republican. And, you know, he had his faults, too. But, you know, the other thing, too, is I think he actually was a Democrat, small d, actually thought democracy was a good thing. Whereas the ones now, I mean, they've even gone further than we ever thought they would. Yeah. They're not Democrats with a small d.
Right.
They don't like democracy.
Eisenhower,
mm-hmm.
But an Eisenhower Republican is like a Reagan Democrat.
Well, and the other thing is it's not just an Eisenhower. It is what that party was once upon a time. Because before they were purged, there used to be, it's like talking about some bizarre fossil. Terry should still be here. Because back in that time, there were these creatures called liberal Republicans.
Right. That's right. Yep.
And some of those stood toe-to-toe against those hateful old Southern conservative Democrat racist Klansman bastards and said, you want to do that, you'll do it, you'll have to go through me.
Right.
And there were more than a few of them.
Yeah.
And
they weren't a rarity.
And think about, and Scott often talks about this, even people who counted themselves conservative, like during Nixon, never forget it was the GOP contingent, you know, Goldwater and Howard Baker in the Senate who went to Nixon and said, dude,
right,
you got to go.
Yeah, it was Goldwater, John Rhodes of Arizona, and Hugh Scott of Pennsylvania.
Was Howard Baker one of those?
No.
Howard Baker was, like, fairly large on the Watergate committee, unless I'm just not remembering right.
Well, yeah, he was on the Watergate committee on the Republican side. Mm-hmm. But as far as that contingent that went to the White House about 3 days before Nixon resigned, it was Hugh Scott, Barry Goldwater, and John Rhodes, a congressman from Arizona.
Can you imagine any Republican right now going to Trump and saying anything like that?
Well, the problem with Republicans by and large in today's world is that they are devoid, for all practical purposes, of basic human decency. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, even Republicans, they may have had some far out notions politically, but there was a certain measure of decency as human beings to them. That's all been bred out of them. Right. Now they're, you know, it's all about being a shape, you know, talking about shape-shifting reptilians. Mm-hmm. You know, that AT&T guy, Tony Q. Tony Q, by God, what a name. The QAnon has latched on to that act of domestic terrorism. You know, he's their new hero of the week. And it's coming out as they're analyzing his digital life that he was a big believer in shape-shifting reptilians, you know, in charge of things. Well, what? How crazy do you have to be to actually believe that and not just be putting people on? These fuckers actually believe that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's frightening when you really, you know, sit and dwell on it for a little while.
Right.
And they want to be in charge. That's the horrendous thing, the scary thing.
Vote for them, even though they receive fewer votes. So that's the thing we need to continuously bring home to people, that they are a minority party, and they're not, you know, they have no interest in democracy. My life on this planet, I've lived under how many Republican presidents that received fewer votes? And then even in the Senate, they don't receive the most votes, but yet they're in charge. Democrats received over 1 million more votes, and they're still in, and the Republicans are still in charge. I mean, this doesn't make sense. So they don't.
It's called voter suppression.
Yeah, but they don't have an interest in democracy. I mean, it really is. This the thing that really gets me too is that it's the Democrats like Amy Klobuchar. She gets on my nerves beyond belief. Friggin' like Pete Buttigieg, like all these middle of the road fuckers. Yesterday I did a whole rant on my show about Amy Klobuchar, because she tweets something that the Republicans don't worry, everybody. So I'm just paraphrasing. Republicans won't be successful in their coup. Democracy will prevail. I'm on the Rules Committee. So a bipartisan group of patriots will save, will make sure that democracy prevails. I'm like, what is this woman's damage with her fucking insistence constantly, her pathological craziness to rehab the Republican Party? Everything is bipartisan to her. You're talking about a bunch of assholes. Even if you found somebody on the Rules Committee to block their coup, they voted for Trump twice. They enable Mitch McConnell constantly. So they're all in on it, this anti-democratic death cult. There's nothing redeemable about them, and it drives me insane that
Well, there's 140 members of the House that are going to commit sedition on January 6th.
So why is Amy Klobuchar and
my congressman's among them?
But yeah. Why are they? It's like they're in the public relations for the Republicans. You know, they really do sort of like give enable them. You know what I mean? Where what they should be doing is going out there and saying like that, you know, they say this is a dangerous president. They are in participating in a coup. And then with another breath, they're like, I'm going to be bipartisan and we're going to find some bipartisan agreement. What are you fucking finding bipartisan agreement with a bunch of traitors? You know, I mean, it's just why are you rehabbing Tara, these fuckers?
It's like making Frankenstein's monster out to be a normal human being.
It's like as if, wait a minute, what you should be saying is that this is a coup. The Republican and you know, I was watching whatever. I saw Steve Schmidt. Now he's part. He was somebody who, you know, now he's on the Lincoln Project and he's great with words and he knows what they are. He's out there saying the Republican Party is irredeemable. They are an anti-democratic cult. I mean, he says these things. This ex-Republican who had a hand really in bringing Twitler to fruition, because if there was no Sarah Palin, there'd be no. You know, we didn't get here overnight. It's been a long time coming. But so in one breath they say, okay. You know, they're a death cult. I say they're a death cult, but they're engaging in sedition. And then you have Democrats saying things like one of the Democrats was saying it's almost seditious or it's bordering on sedition. What the fuck is bordering on sedition?
Right. Stop with the toe dancing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like saying that you're almost pregnant. Either you are or you're not. I mean, it's like, come on.
Hey, Tracy, I was going to say the same thing.
Hey, Tracy, I want to shift gears for a minute, if I may, please.
No.
Okay, well.
Follow up the cat, Bob.
I just had to say that, Robin.
I understand. I think I just got mansplained.
I'm awarding you a cowbell there.
Thank you. It doesn't take long. Yeah, a couple of doses of estrogen, and there you go.
Right, and then all of a sudden you're getting mansplained. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. Half my brain must have leaked out my ears in the night.
Not Rudy Giuliani, okay?
That's still a man in a dress, even if I am 6'2 and 220.
Yeah, sure. You know what? Your brain has never leaked out your head.
But no, I wanted to. Well, let me answer this real quick. Kim, with a note. Hey, Robin, did I spell it correct? Yes, you did. Tara, that senator, Klobuchar, is one of my senators.
Oh, God.
We hope here she gets primaried out of the Senate. She bugs me, too.
Oh, she's like, well, I can't stand
you gotta,
her.
You gotta understand the dynamic that plays in a place like Minnesota with the Democratic Farm Labor Party. You have to go, among other things, you have to go up into the far north of the state and plant your lips firmly betwixt the cheeks of the goddamn mining industry. Mm. I mean, in many ways, there's a lot of similarity there with, you know, what it was like to try to be a Democrat in West Virginia back when we still had some in Congress. Mm-hmm. Because you have to make nicey with the people who run shit. And, for instance, we could never get any, as much as I liked him, we could never get any movement out of Al Franken on the AIC Act in the Senate. And it was largely because he had to stay sucked up to the mining industry. And for him to have done something about mountaintop removal would have been political death. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Kim adds good fucking riddance to 2020. So, yeah. Tracy, I wanted to turn back to you if I could for a minute. Because.
Yes.
I mean, shit. Yeah, that's it. Earther just said, I vow to turn all children into an affordable asphalt goo, but we must be bipartisan about it.
Yes. Right. Right. There's some good Republicans out there. Like every she's up there all the time, constantly.
Well, it's like
fucking like saying how we. Oh, you know who got me? What's her face? Nancy Pelosi. She said the same thing. She was like, "The American people need a Republican Party. Take your party back." The American
why
she said the American people need a Republican Party that has done so much good for this country.
Where?
And I almost had a fucking fainted. Yeah. I was like, what?
Maybe I'm
okay. Crazy. So let me go
maybe
back.
Maybe I'm crazy, Bob or Robin. How many times,
Scott? You are crazy. By the way,
all right. Thank you. Or diagnosis confirmed. How many times do you have to reach across the aisle and draw back a bloody stump before you latch on to the idea that it's a fruitless exercise?
Yes, right. But they're doing the work. They have more interest in rehabilitating or normalizing this greed-centered death cult than the fucking greed-centered death cult has. So it's they don't give a shit. They just they do what they do. They lie.
Yeah,
they
and then the Republicans come in and slap the Democrats around a little bit, and the Democrats look up and say, hit me again. I can put some stank on it.
Can't we get bipartisan?
Bipartisan.
What are you talking? Let's be bipartisan. It's like a whole party of Neville Chamberlains. Like, oh look, we're gonna get some good Republicans, and we're going to stop the coup of the other Republicans who fucking voted for the con man. They know that.
Steve Schmidt and Rick Wilson and those guys are doing is trying to rehab the Republican Party. But I do. I want to turn to Tracy, if I may, please, because Tracy is my source for all things geographic in L.A.
Okay.
Where is
gun in front of it?
I mean, I had the story last night about the mini maggot riot at a grocery store called Erewhon's.
Yes.
Which one? The one in L.A. or the one on Fairfax?
Yeah, Fairfax. Fairfax.
Yeah, because there's one out here in the valley as well. So what happened? you hear about more shit that happens in L.A. than I do, and I'm usually Jan brings shit up for me because I just don't. But what happened?
Like 20 plus maggots went there. No masks, crammed together, butthole to belly button, and screamed at the naturally black guy security at the front. We just want to shop for our groceries.
Right. And they were carrying signs saying that Nazis promised a good life too. And I mean, these fucking
and there's a woman screaming, "I don't wear my underwear on my head."
Right. Oh, good point, lady.
Proud of you.
Well, Erewhon is upscale whole, like it's even more expensive than Whole Foods or Whole Paycheck, if you can believe it. And it's on the west side of it's kind of the west side. It's like East Hollywood-ish, but it's at that crossroads of like almost like Beverly Hills, West LA, East Hollywood. It's kind of weird. But my favorite Mexican restaurant is over there, El Coyote. But anywho, it's an upscale grocery store. You'll see if you watch that kind of stuff. I don't pay attention to what celebrities are out and about in L.A., but a lot of celebrities shop there. And I couldn't afford
So my question is, why would they pick that place?
I don't even know why. Well, because it's the best. It's upscale, basically, organic market. So when you hear organic, you automatically think of liberals. And, so they just went there to start trouble because typically they wouldn't shop there.
What's the name of the place?
Erewhon.
Yeah, they're probably like liberal.
There's your answer.
Let's go drink some liberal tears.
Right, exactly.
The reason you had a gathering of maggots there is they misread the sign. They thought it said Aryan.
That's worth it.
That was worth it. Well, I mean, and just Did you guys hear that my homie Kirk Cameron is having another gathering this tonight for New Year's Eve?
Right. And so where are the cops?
That's Jan is
roll up, yeah, roll up with a van and the goddamn rip tie, the zip ties.
I mean, because now they're going to be in Malibu, and it's like, you know, I mean,
Tracy, where?
My state senator, who represents my part of the valley, and who was actually kind of helped me get my unemployment, Henry Stern, Senator Stern. He is my state senator. He actually, I just read that he sent Kirk Cameron a letter. It's like, please stay your monkey ass at home. That's not what he said, but it's my interpretation. That's how I interpreted it. But yeah,
so Tracy, is Chachi going to be there too?
You know what? I don't know. Wait, not Chachi. I don't. There's another one. Oh God, that lives in California.
Is it the Superman guy? The guy that played Superman, who's also a Trumpanzee?
Dean Cain.
He's a Trumpanzee.
Yeah. Isn't that a kick in the head?
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually ran for office. That's what he ran for office in. I think it was in Thousand Oaks. Over there, and got his. It was maybe it wasn't Dean Cain, but it was some other has-been actor.
I was just thinking when you said Dean Cain, I'm like, I don't think that's, but I know who you're talking about.
I can't think of who it was. And
talks about him and makes fun of him.
And so he ran against I don't know if it was a state or he ran against some Democrat and got his ass handed to him. it was like, why did he even bother? But yeah, no. But we're having, I have not left the house in a while.
Well, I mean, Tracy, I guess it's a rhetorical question, but how many people have to die?
Really?
Well, 10,000 people a day are dying in L.A.
No, they're not 10,000 a day.
Not 10,000 a day. What was it?
Yeah, they're getting infections.
Infections are 10,000 a day in L.A. County. Not California, not Southern California, L.A. County.
I mean, I've been paying attention to it, Tracy. I've been seeing like on the order of like 38,000 to 40,000 per day infections in California now.
Yep. And like I said, LA County is off the chain. It is, you know, so it's 10,000 Angelenos are dead from COVID, 10,000 just in LA County.
My former partner lives out there, and he told me, we had a discussion, and he said to me, while he was laughing, although it was a really sinister laugh, not sinister, but like cynical, he's like, Steve, there are no more emergency room beds. So if anyone gets sick and they don't have COVID, there's nowhere to go.
They're treating them in the ambulances at some of these hospitals.
That's ridiculous.
The lyric of a Bob Dylan song comes to mind. How many deaths will it take till we know that too many people have died? The deal is the odometer of death will not be slowing down anytime soon. And I'm sad to say it.
It was 3,808. Scott, yesterday it was 3,808.
Yeah.
Jesus,
we're going to have 5,000 deaths one day, but just wait and see.
And then in Vegas, if anybody's ever heard of the Fremont Experience, they're actually having a New Year's Eve thing there, but they're only they had opened it up to the public, and now they're only opening it up to hotel guests that are at the hotels in downtown Vegas. That's still one too many people.
Way too many people. It's crowded.
Guys, I don't
there.
Mean to interrupt, but I'm just gonna tell you. Have a happy new year, because I got to go. I got to take a phone call. So
happy new year, Tara. Thank you for joining in. Thanks so much for your love and support.
Yes.
I'm so grateful.
Yes, me too. I'm grateful for you, and congratulations. I look forward to getting to know you for real. So
thank you.
Happy new year and new you. Well, same old you, but now we get to share. This is great.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking in, Tara.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
And keep staying safe, Tara, Tara, please.
Happy New Year, Tara. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Be safe.
Bye-bye.
Oh, God, I love Tara.
I think that's the first time she's been on the podcast.
Oh, heavens no.
That I can
really?
Oh, really?
Has no. She talented.
Well, before?
Very talented.
Yeah, she's been on the program before. Not on the porch, but she's been on the program.
On the porch.
Oh, yeah. Right. On the porch, yeah. Yeah, she is like the queen of snark, and that's why I love her so much.
Oh, she's great.
If she played her cards right, she could be the next Randy Rhoads. I've been saying that ever since I first heard her. And I've been listening to radio for a long time, yeah.
Hey, by the way, Steve, did you get my email?
What, the Christmas card one, Steve?
I think I sent you an email basically asking how everything was going with mom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, mom has the Rona. She got discharged today, and she's actually being sent back to the assisted living facility with oxygen. So that's good. At least she won't be surrounded by strangers. You know, she'll be back at home. That's her home. She's been there for 7 years. And I just wanted to tell you, Steve, you got people in Georgia. The Rona's running wild here, too, brother. My mom has it. My sister has it. Just found out 2 days ago my sister has it. So.
Oh, dear God.
Jesus Christ, man.
My golf buddy got it. I found that out December 24th. He was diagnosed. And we just golfed with him like 2 days before. And thank God he had his own cart that day.
Good God.
Yeah, it's running wild everywhere. I heard the discussion earlier how guys in California are really guarded, and we need to be. Get the best masks you can find. The N95s are out there. They're expensive, but if you got the coin, get them.
You know what? In New York, you can't buy the N95.
You go online, Steve. They're there.
No, man. I know. I mean, you can get the KN95, but
No, search N95s. Google it, brother. You can get them. It's going to cost you, but you can get
it. Oh, I know. I mean, I looked at like a Home Depot and all those places, and if you go on the website, it actually says that they're reserving them for medical personnel.
Mm-hmm. You can mail order them, though, Steve, is what I'm trying to convey.
Okay, brother. Or you just stay the fuck home.
Yeah, that. Or KN95s are second best, according to the maskologist. Our dear friend, I can't think of his name.
But Laborman?
He schooled us up. Yeah, he schooled
us
up.
Well, those in the N99s, you know, that number is a reflection of the percentage of particulates that are filtered.
I got some 99s, actually, a couple of days ago. The blue ones. That they are out there.
I'll have to take a look because I haven't. Yeah. And for anybody who's listening, I know some people are listening who aren't on the porch. I have your disinfectant and all that stuff. I just have not had a chance to send it. And I'm going to say one other thing, too. For the person who responded to my Cass's Deli challenge.
Please. Please get back in touch. Need an address.
Because I haven't seen the address, and I think Robin has looked for the address.
That's okay.
And hasn't found it. And, you know, and I am going to say this, that at midnight tonight, the Schaller and Weber will expire.
Midnight tonight.
Yes. And what that means is the Katz's one has been filled. The Bourbon County for Darlene, I'm having an issue getting the 2019. I can't find it anywhere, so I may have to send her the 2020. What else is there? Isn't there one other one that I have out?
The chartreuse.
The guy in Iowa. I have his. I just again. It's just. It's.
Yes. Harold. President and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society.
I have it. I have it's plenty of places to get it. I just haven't had a chance to get it. I have the special styrofoam cooler package that I got from Esther Price for some other stuff that I ordered to put it in. I just haven't had a chance, so. Folks, bear with me, and I have I have your thing, Robin, to get. I'm not telling you what it is because you're probably going, what the fuck is he talking about? That's fine. I just haven't had a chance. With
no worries. No worries.
All that stuff. But you're going to get that, and you're going to be like, oh, this is a cool book. And then you're going to open it up and be like, oh, wow.
Even cooler.
This is even cooler than Jesus. Well, cooler than Jesus. Maybe as cool as Jesus, but not cooler than Jesus.
Oh, and since you sort of opened the door to some food porn, just a quick update. The fresh ham.
You know what? I got to tell you something. Your food porn is off the charts. And I heard brine for 2 days, and I thought, this is just not fair.
Yeah, that ham was so huge that it would not fit in my ordinary 5-gallon brining buckets. So I had to repurpose my my Yeti knockoff and brine it in there.
How big was it?
Oh, Jesus. It's 25 pounds.
A ham?
Yes.
That's an awfully big pig. That's a big
short. Well, what it is hams, when they're cured, they lose water weight.
So it would have been bigger normally.
No, it would be smaller.
Smaller, okay.
Because this is fresh. This has never been cured. It hasn't been screwed with in any way, except for, you know, killing the pig part. And so it's totally fresh, and it's just sitting there. And the electrolytes in the brine are carrying the brown sugar and the allspice and the cinnamon and the cloves and the garlic and the ginger and the nutmeg.
I officially hate you.
Deep in, you know, and deep into the meat. And so tomorrow, hopefully it won't pour. It's just been kind of rainy. But if it doesn't pour, I'll get up early tomorrow, go out, start the fire, and low and slow, and I'm smoking it over cherry. No, hickory. I'm using hickory. And it'll go 4 hours in the smoke, and at that point, it'll come out. Agnes will come out, and we'll put it in an aluminum foil roaster, and she's going to come out and make her glaze with, you know, the brown sugar and the mustard and getting the maraschino cherries and the pineapple hunks. And oh, by the way, the other thing, it's all the brine also contains about a quart of fresh pressed sweet cider.
Okay, let me tell you something. I just might drive to West Virginia and beat the crap out of you right now, because this just isn't fair. This just isn't fair. Well, let me tell you something. I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to tell you, there better be pictures on Facebook or Twitter or somewhere. I mean, Tracy sent me those beautiful pictures from Christmas Day.
Without a doubt.
And just for on the food porn site, the pictures I just posted were the peppers I picked today, which are the Aji Amarillo Peruvian peppers that I've been tending underneath a hoop house with an electric heater to keep them from freezing.
This isn't fair. This is not fucking fair. I'm going to be alone with my cat eating a goddamn hamburger, and you people are going to be eating. Jesus Christ.
Well, at least you're not eating
cat food. I hate you
all. Roger, do you have a helper named Peter to help you pack those pickled peppers?
No, I don't.
Oh, God. He said that, and I was waiting.
There better not be a cowbell there. Chris gets a serious gnur.
No, that's a gnur. That's a gnur. I was just sitting here quietly hoping that no one would go there, but, well, Chris did.
I had to.
Chris, you get a gnur.
It's like what Robert Frost said in a poem once. It's hard to avoid it when it's in you and it's in the situation. Right, Chris?
Exactly. Hey, guys, I got another name for the Republican Rehabilitation Rodeo. And I don't know if anybody saw Frank Luntz on the Snuffleupagus show, but there's another guy, you know, that's like, oh, these Republicans, they've jumped off the edge and stuff. It's like, you helped push that party off the edge, asshole, back in the 90s, you and Gingrich.
Yep.
So there's that.
I got a question.
Happy New Year, everybody.
I got a question for the group, if it's okay. With the year 2020, glad to see it go. slowly receding into the distance, soon to recede into the distance. What kind of hopes and dreams do you have for 2021?
And this is probably on the level of fantasy, but I'm just aching and yearning, and that most desperate of emotions, hoping that this country can, that enough people will come to their senses in this country that we can stop this goddamn thing. Lou, just a minute ago, said, I'm thinking the number won't matter until we pass the number of deaths in the Civil War, about 620,000. At that point, we'll have the worst American catastrophe ever.
I don't think numbers matter. People can't relate to that, Bob, because it's just, a massive...
That's okay. That's okay, Rick. Yeah, no, that's the thing.
400,000 by the end of the month.
Yeah. What I was thinking about is, in many ways, we talked about this phenomenon in relation to climate change on a number of occasions. People can't wrap their heads around climate change because they can't see it and because it isn't happening to them. So many Americans' field of vision is so narrowed, so blinkered, that if it doesn't happen to them, it doesn't happen. If the tree never falls in the forest, and even if it did, it doesn't make a noise. It's like the tornado will blow through somewhere in the south, and the for-profit media will stick a camera and a microphone pointed at some poor woman whose house has just been turned into fucking toothpicks, and she'll say, "Well, thank God I'm alive." And I guess that's a normal response, but at the same time, it's not just that, because, you know, three doors down, there may be a family of four dead. And we've been noting this in the American character since Mark Twain, when he wrote the War Prayer. And he said, people say, pray, may our troops prevail, and don't realize that they're praying that others may suffer. Or they pray that they can get rain on their crops when the rain may fall on some other farmer's field and ruin his. We can't get past our own self-centeredness. And when the tornado blows away the entire town, nobody, if you dare to say, well, the climate change model says the tornadoes are going to get more frequent and more deadly, well, this is no time to talk about that. Can't you see people suffering?
It may well happen that the effects of COVID will have to dramatically touch everybody in the country just as a wake up. And even the people who are touched by it will explain it away, talking about God or their time came or some bit of nonsense. Yeah. Because the human beings we're hardwired to be in denial about unpleasant things. You see the footage of the fucking tornado knocking down the church or the neighborhood or whatever, and most people say, gee, isn't that too bad? And then in their minds, they're thinking, glad it didn't happen to us. That's where we are. That's the mindset, the prevalent mindset, even in the minds of good folks, decent folks.
Yeah. I think we're going to hit a few million deaths in this country from COVID, I'm afraid. I hate to say that, but just the way things have been going, the trend lines, numbers have been increasing, geometrically, not arithmetically recently. California just had a 25,000 today. Maybe it was yesterday. I'm not sure, but that was what it was in the news anyway.
And the proof of that numerical estimate, Rick, is the fact that the pharmaceutical companies, God bless them, were hell-bent for leather coming up with a fucking vaccine, each of these companies. But as far as getting it delivered, that last mile, so to speak, into the arms of waiting Americans, That's where the breakdown is. Mm-hmm. And why is that? Because the people supposedly in charge didn't give a half a damn to see that the vaccines were delivered.
Right.
And that's where we are. Well, we'll leave it up to the states. Well, no.
And again, I reiterate the statistic. I reiterate the statistic that I saw in the last 48 hours. At the present rate of vaccination, we will achieve herd immunity sometime in 2031.
Oh God.
There you go.
Boy, this is going to be with us a long time. And I don't think it's going to be that bad. But, as far as having a horn in this summer, Robin, I doubt it. I mean, I sure hope so, but, it doesn't look very promising,
No, and there's going to have to be a grown-up, somebody, either Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, are going to have a grown-up conversation with the United States.
Maybe a freaking, presidential speech,
Yeah, no more participation trophies. I mean, Mike in Cascadia just dropped me a note. And this is just horrifying. We don't know the reason why, but you know who Congressman Raskin is from Maryland?
Oh, yeah.
He's the one who actually introduced the legislation for the Commission on Presidential Fitness, and a damn sharp constitutional lawyer.
Yeah, and a teacher. He teaches constitutional law, I think, at UVA or something like that, Bob.
And they announced, and this is just horrible, I hope... No, I don't even know what I'm saying. I was going to say, I hope it wasn't COVID. No, I just wish it hadn't happened. With profound sorrow, Congressman Jamie Raskin and Sarah Bloom Raskin today announced the loss of their son, Thomas Tommy Bloom Raskin, age 25, who was a second-year student at Harvard Law School and a graduate of Amherst.
Oh, please.
But they do say, and I don't know if it's a clue, but... The family is grateful for the outpouring of support and love from neighbors, constituents, and friends, but asks everyone to observe strict COVID-19 protocols during this time of grief. And so, if it is COVID-related, 25-year-old boy, okay? Yesterday, the story of the 41-year-old Republican congressman to be.
Yeah. It knows no age bounds. It's quite indiscriminate. It depends, everybody reacts differently to this. And, so it can kill anybody of any age. Depends on how your body reacts to it, The damnedest thing.
That congressman had a blood clot that went in his brain and killed him or something.
Yeah, but it would.
Caused by COVID.
Yeah, caused by COVID.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They're seeing strokes. They're seeing like heart attacks. They're seeing all kinds of crazy stuff. The circulatory caused by the swelling from the COVID.
Can I just tell you a really extreme? There's a guy at my church who had a bunch of comorbidities. He was a rather sickly person to begin with, so he got it. Very severe. Had various infections in addition to COVID, and he got over it. But the illnesses that he suffered as the aftermath, he ended up losing his left eye.
Oh, geez.
So.
And then there was that Broadway actor. He like lost a leg and maybe an arm and stuff until he finally forget his name. A very accomplished gentleman. He lived out in L.A., I think, maybe a bi-coastal couple. I think his wife is also an actress or something like that.
Yeah. He'd won one. I think he'd won Tony's on Broadway.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I should know his name. I mean, we've lost.
And so, in the case of the Congress, even losing one of their own and young, won't matter to the maggots.
No. No.
I mean, this is becoming, well, this this has become.
It was Nick Cordero.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you. Hey, Happy New Year, Tracy.
Happy New Year to you, my dear.
Yeah, let's kick this. Let's shove this thing with a red hot poker out the door, right?
Well, we're having tonight. Jan went to the Rouse is having a 50% off of shellfish. So we have lobster, crab legs, and shrimp.
Oh, we're making cioppino soup tomorrow. I went to the store on the way into the office cioppino. Here and got some frozen shrimp, some scallops, and some. I couldn't find the crab, but we're using the rockfish as the whitefish. So it's going to be really good.
Cool.
That'll be for tomorrow night. Star's got to work tonight. She's got a patient she's taking care of.
Is she a nurse?
Yeah. She's a hospice nurse, actually, Tracy.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, she's taking care of a lady who's got like stage 4 lung cancer. Very sick. She's been in and out of the hospital. She was in the hospital like last night. Star was going to work last night and got called at the last minute to say, hey, you know, Bonnie's going to the hospital. You can't, you know, don't come today. But she's out of the hospital now. So hopefully, she's feeling better. But I mean, yeah, she's got all kinds of, she's experienced a lot of pain and she's on Norco a lot, you know, that kind of thing. The CBD didn't do anything for her, for example, you know.
Speaking of famous people dying of COVID, Don Wells died yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Oh, yeah. They got, you know, the guy, Trump got Marianne, of course.
Yep.
Not Ginger. No, let's not wish that on Tina Louise.
I always liked Marianne better.
Yeah. She got more fan mail.
Yeah.
From Kansas or something. I don't know if she was in real life or in the show or which it was. I think she was from like Kansasistan or something like that.
I think that entire cast is gone, with the exception now. Is Ginger still around? Tina Louise?
I don't know. What does Dr. Google say?
I don't know.
She may have passed. Seems to me she did about 5 years ago. I don't know for sure though.
Even the professor's gone?
Oh, yeah. Russell Johnson died about 10 years ago, 8 years ago.
I mean, I can't believe Carrie Fisher's been dead for like 4 years already. Jesus.
Until Joey's Journal this evening.
Well, yeah, when I heard that, I was like, really? That long ago?
Yeah, hard to believe. Really works hard on those.
Yeah, he does. So he absolutely does. It's very impressive. But I don't know. I got one question. Does Thorazine work on a giraffe?
No. No.
Well, Ginger is still amongst us, by the way. You know, I was killing her off.
Nothing works on
here.
A stuffed giraffe.
Damn it.
I think Ginger's the only one that's still alive, isn't
she? Still alive, Tracy. Yep. Don't go killing
her
off yet.
That's Billable's job.
Billable, don't even think about watching reruns of Gilligan's Island.
Don't worry. I love her less with Tom Petty and, you know, all those other artists that I've, pushed.
Well, remember,
still can't get you.
I called 9/11 and Katrina because I was in New York like a week or two before 9/11, and I was in New Orleans a week or two before Katrina. So,
well, that's just the power of Tegay.
Yeah, but I call. So I was. It's like, you know, just stay the fuck out of our cities, please, because you.
We still can't get Billable Rick to go to a Kid Rock or a Ted Nugent concert, and yeah, I don't understand.
COVID is kind of preventing that. Although I could have gone.
Take one for the team, bro. One for the team, man.
Rick, tattoo shops open up again in L.A., I want you to get a tattoo. I see dead people.
You know. I make dead people.
That's funny. On the way in, I heard this song, Everybody Has Died. I'm trying to remember the name of the band that does that. That's a great song. The Hollywood Vampires did that too. Do you guys know the song? Everybody died. Everybody has died. And it talks about like a kid, like one of his friends, like hanging himself, and another kid, you know, doing something, jumping off a bridge. All this crazy shit, you know.
Hey, Tracy.
In other words, it's a good New Year's Day song.
Maybe it is.
All right, we're right at the end of the program. Let's get this over with real quick. Hang on, I'm not talking about the program, just this inquiry. To watch the college football playoffs or not to watch the college football playoffs?
Bob, you and I conversed about this.
I feel real bad. I feel real bad about watching the college football playoffs. But there is something deeply seated in my soul that wants to tune in hopes of seeing the Crimson Tide prove once again that Notre Dame has no business in the playoffs.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks a lot for that.
You have dispensation for me to watch one game. How does that sound?
Yeah, okay.
I
want them to have to add lights for an extra digit on the scoreboard for Alabama. And I know I'm jinxing them, but
where did we get Clemson such this?
Beat the shit out of them a week ago.
Oh, it was a massive bloodbath.
Yeah, and somehow we made the Final Four after that.
I'm going to say too. Something.
How about Oklahoma? They were more worthy to be in there than fucking Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, but they gagged badly.
No, you know why
they played a game last night.
Yeah.
Do we all know why Notre Dame is in this?
Florida.
Money. Ratings.
Money. Because Notre Dame has a fan following. I mean, remember this. NBC, which used to show games, dedicated their entire network.
That's why it used to be referred to as the Notre Dame Broadcasting Company.
Yeah. They still do. I mean, that's the point. That shows you the power that I don't know. I've gotten to the point where I never thought that anything could be worse than the BCS system. They came up with something worse because it's gotten to the point where
it's never going to have any legitimacy. It's never going to be worth a tinker's damn until, I mean, you can't do 64 teams. You can't do 32 bowl games and then a week.
July.
But yeah. you could have 10 teams.
No, you know what you need? You need 8 teams plus 4 at large. Because the way, let's be honest here. Celine Clemson's not going to be in the picture anymore.
Yeah.
And what
Trevor Lawrence is going to Jacksonville.
But what it boils down to is it's at least for the foreseeable future, it's going to be Ohio State and Alabama and whoever gets to join them. And that's just, look, I'm an Ohio State fan. But to me, the best thing about March Madness with basketball is that you never – 9 times out of 10, you're surprised at who ends up in the Sweet 16 and who ends up in Elite 8 and who ends up – you know, some team who's mediocre during the year gets hot.
A 12 always beats a 5, Steve. Always.
But you know what I'm saying, though? That's what makes it fun. And when it's the same goddamn teams, it's just – it's no fun anymore. It's just not. I don't find it fun.
Steve, I wonder if it gets higher ratings: the Final Four in NCAA basketball, or the BCS title games here, the Final Four for football.
I'll bet basketball does.
Hey, here's a cool thing. You'll dig this, Steve. Mike in Cascadia just sent this along: a reason to respect Alabama. And Najee Harris, I'm sorry. Najee Harris of the Tide at his press conference they're there to talk about the football game. You know, well, you know, you line up 11 people on either side there's no I in the usual horse shit. Najee Harris, the phenomenal running back, steps up to the podium and instead he does this. And this is so freaking cool.
Oh, man, Megan go crazy. She's from California, first of all, and she listened to Nipsey. Nipsey Hussle was like one of my favorite rappers too. So she gave a shout out to him, and then really all the stuff she stands up for, like she's a feminist in how the females, how women in the world gets treated unfairly, and the pay, how they get paid different and different stuff than men. So she really stands up for all that. I like how she does that. Obviously the social injustice that happened, she plays a part in all that, and for her to be a woman and saying all that stuff. It could be scary for her to for being a woman in what they will say is a man's world, and her just playing a part, standing up, not listening to like all the naysayers out there, and really just standing up for what she believes in. It's motivating and it's inspirational. So me as a male, I guess you could say, like, maybe not too many males will like say like they look up to a woman nowadays, but you know, I really look up to her. You know, just for what she does outside of sports. And I guess I'd give her a shout out with a little stuff, right?
We'll wrap things up with.
That's so cool. And who he's talking about is cool. Who he's talking about is Megan Rapinoe. And Megan Rapinoe saw the thing because the AL.com had the clip. And Megan Rapinoe retweeted it and said, "Najee, roll tide." Did I do it right? Be great.
I thought it was Rapinoe.
Rapinoe, okay. Yeah, you're right. But she
grew up in Palisado, California.
Yeah.
Just north of me.
She says, "Be great. Get those roses and hurdle someone for me." Because he's amazing. And, you know, people must have been standing there going, "What?"
And hey, Rob, shout out to the Vanderbilt kicker, forward? Too, who scored the first extra point for a female.
Oh, yeah.
You know what he said ultimately means, Bob?
What?
That there are things that are more fucking important than the goddamn college football playoff. That's what he's really saying.
Oh, that's cool.
But the other thing is, moments like that change places like Alabama.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, and bless Nick Saban's heart for, you know, and his team was doing it, too. Begging their ignorant, benighted classmates.
Wear your fucking mask.
Wear your goddamn mask. If you want to have a football season, wear your mask.
Wear your mask. And I'm going to tell you who I have to tell you. And I think this is the one person that everyone can hate. Is fucking Dabo Sweeney. I cannot stand that guy. I think he's a liar. I think that I don't know if anybody looked at the numbers. They were completely lying about how many infections are at Clemson, because the Clemson campus had, if you look at the numbers of infections versus their student population, 25%. And I frankly think that they have completely lied about who has had COVID on that football team, and we're going to find that out. That guy, I think, is one of the most disgusting people in all of college football. And I'm going to tell you what, college football has plenty of disgusting people.
Yeah, and that one of them graduated to the Senate.
Oh, Jesus, Tommy Tuberville.
Oh, my God.
Who didn't know we fought Germany during the Second World War.
Oh, my God. And remember the three branches of government?
I love the way you put it. What a dumbass.
Well, you remember the three branches of government, right? The presidency, the House, yeah. And the Senate.
And the Senate. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh. You can't make this stuff up.
I suspect he's going to run for president with Sarah Palin as his running mate.
Oh,
I mean, I think
God.
We
2024 Tuberville.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there
right.
You go.
Tuberville.
Why not? Why the fuck?
Yeah, I think given his mental acuity, I think we can just take the Ville off of his name and make him Tommy Tuber, because he's a freaking potato.
Potato head. Yeah.
He's a potato head.
He's a turnip.
A head.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna wrap this up because I got an early morning and I got to get the upload done and all of that stuff.
Happy cooking, Robin.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Congrats. And
an amazing story. I was floored and a bit shocked, but I'm congratulations. I'm really happy to hear about the transformation that you're undergoing.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
I have to do something real quick, folks. Here we are at the end. I'm holding up my beer, and anybody who has any drink, beer, water, whatever it is, hold it up and say, good fucking bye, 2020. Hello, 2021. And we all need to toast the person tonight who blessed us with some honesty, with some integrity, with some authenticity that we just don't hear very often. So, Sláinte and cheers to you.
Cheers. Aye, aye.
Cheers.
Sláinteva.
Cheers.
Apostrophia.
Hey, I want you to know that, Robin, that this is, I mean this for you.
Thank you.
Hey, Robin, one more thing. I am going to be, hey, Steve from Georgistan, I may be calling you. I signed up to do phone banking on Saturday.
Oh, great.
Awesome. Okay.
Wonderful.
So I don't know if you're going to be on my list, but maybe you will be. That'd be fun.
Never know.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve. Yeah. Steve, can you have my email, right?
Yes.
Can you email me so I make sure that I have the right email? Because otherwise, somebody has been getting my emails to you and probably wondering, who is this Steve from Georgistan?
No, it's you, bro. I got your Christmas card from your law firm.
But I sent you another email asking about mom, et cetera.
Okay. I hadn't checked that one in a while, so I'll have to circle back to it.
Okay.
Hey, Robin.
Steve in Georgistan, just to confirm it for the rest of the Horn family now, I did have you in mind when I called C-SPAN the other morning. I knew you'd be out there listening. And sure
and
as
he was.
And
he was. Sure
of course.
As how he's.
That's what the can reference was about.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. But I love doing that.
Well, and Scott,
one
I got
the best calls ever, man.
Scott, here. I have to. I don't know if you were listening the other night. I had a cryptic message for you.
Uh-oh.
Watch your mail. When it arrives, refrigerate immediately.
Oh.
Yeah, somebody sent you the Corona vaccine.
So. I was going to say, as a rule, I don't like to administer shots, but what the hell?
And Billable, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to mention, Robin, I sent you an email at the start of the program about a challenge, basically fuck 2020 and stick it with the red hot poker or whatever.
Oh,
I don't know if you ever got that.
I think I was such a hot mess at the time. I may have missed it.
So I'll tell you what, just carry it over to Monday and we'll call it the Welcome 2021 Challenge and moving on up or something like that.
sounds wonderful. Thank you, Bill. Okay. Well, thank you so kindly.
Relax.
So it's a $25 challenge and then.
Blob and relax, you got this.
And then
it's
matching.
Trying, Steve. I'm trying.
You got it, man.
Got it.
And you know, maybe as time goes on, and I work on my voice or something, I'll try it out on y'all. It's going to be a long time.
Whatever, man. Whatever. Take your time.
We got time.
Yeah.
This is your party, man. We're just dancing.
Yeah, it's
We're all a big dysfunctional family. What the hell?
It's a marathon, not a sprint. I keep being told so.
You got this, my friend.
I think it's going to be grand. Shorty in L.A.
Okay.
Shorty in L.A. reminds us, put your right hand on your left shoulder. Got it.
Aww.
Put your left hand on your right shoulder. You got it. Okay, now, everybody squeeze for 5 seconds. You ready? Okay. Let's do it.
I can't breathe.
Damn, that felt good. Squeeze you later, says Shorty. Smooches to the whole family. If you want, put that hug in your pocket and take it everywhere you need it. Thank you, Shorty. Thank you so much. And so we come to the end of the final program of 2020. And Let it be what it has been. And let's all work. We always do. The problem ain't us. You know, it's not us. It's them.
It's them. It is.
Shit.
But let's just keep doing everything we can to be the best we can and try to make it possible to say that we're holding up our end of the bargain. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to each and every one of you who jumped in to meet the challenges this evening. Thank you, Chris, for making the challenge. Thank you, Joey and Giraffe, for making the challenge. And a super-duper special thank you to Randy. Randy jumped in and increased the GoFundMe campaign for my oral surgery by $1,500. And that is nothing short of amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks to each and every one of you who helped keep this program on the air with your subscriptions, your a la carte contributions, your challenges, your responses. Thank you. You are why the program exists and has existed as long as it has. Thanks to our all volunteer, thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you, Sparky, at the seat of honor at the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you so much. Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at HeadOn.live. Remember, this is the best place to catch the first run of Malloy. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Please continue to heal and feel better. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And thanks so much for your kindness, your compassion, your warm and welcoming notes. Thank you. Words cannot adequately express my gratitude, our gratitude. And I'll keep you posted as time goes by on how things are going. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please, 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 please stay safe. Best way to stay safe is to stay home, but some of us can't. So if you have to be out and about, well, wear your mask. Engage in frequent hand washing. Use hand sanitizer liberally. Wear gloves if you got them. Keep your social distance 10 feet between people wearing a mask, at least, and it is physically impossible to put enough distance between you and anyone who isn't wearing one. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you and says, hey, look, I got some vaccine. It's only been sitting on the counter for 3 days. Avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Happy New Year, everybody. The happiest new year we can possibly have. Joyous, and yes, even hopeful. Have a wonderful weekend. Later.